Pat Project family, how's it going? We talk about getting your lab work done all the time on this podcast, but a problem with getting your lab work done, if you want to check your testosterone, cholesterol, any of that good stuff, is that it can be super expensive if you try to go through a normal doctor. That's why we partner with Merrick Health, owned by Derek, for more plates, more dates. And the amazing thing about Merrick Health is that when you get your labs or the Power Project panel for men and women that we have on their website, these labs are extremely affordable. Literally, they could be up to 70% cheaper than what you would purchase from a doctor. So, Andrew, how can people get a hold of these labs?
Yes, on top of Merrick Health already being super affordable, when you head over to MerrickHealth.com, that's M-A-R-E-K Health.com, and you use promo code POWERPROJECT10, you're going to save 10% off all of the labs that you order. And if you don't know where to start, you can head over to MerrickHealth.com/POWERPROJECT. Now, that's going to be the Power Project panel that has over 26 different labs from testosterone, estrogen, all the important stuff. Stuff that, like, even I can't even name off the top of my head because I'm just not the one that came up with the lab. But it is going to cover everything, so that way you know everything that's going on under the hood. And when you order that, use promo code POWERPROJECT for $101 off of that. I know that's a lot of information, but everything will be explained down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. Head over there right now.
That was like 10 years ago, though. That's not a big, it's not weird.
What are those shorts anyway?
I don't know. I need a pair.
They're like Rydell or something. And they're polyester.
Oh man, my tiny fucking head. I had to put this on the lowest setting.
Yeah, what's wrong with your head?
My head's too fucking small, dude.
I never realized that until you mentioned it today. You're like, dude, make fun of people for having a big head. Like, I was made fun of that shit.
Is it the shoulders?
I was going to say, it helps the proportion. Look how big the shoulders
are. My brother has an obscenely fucking small head. And I think it's just a genetic factor that I need to take more GH. So my head grows bigger.
Yeah, GH, maybe some IGF-1. We'll get like a blend going.
Oh my God, yeah. I never understood. Like, there's so many things with IGF-1 and HGH. Like, they're like, well, HGH converts to IGF-1, and I don't know.
It gets to be confusing.
It does. There's a lot of things going on.
Tell us a little bit about who you are for people that don't know.
Well, I'm Mark Lobliner. I am the chief marketing officer at TigerFitness.com. I have a company called MTS Nutrition. Also have a company called Pump Chasers, which Chris Jones is here, actually. He came with me. 015 Nutrition with Brandon Curry. I own a Outright Bar. The Outright Bar is the number one bar in America right now, I believe.
Delicious.
Based on growth. And the shipment should be coming here any minute now, FedEx.
Wah, wah, wah.
And a company called Ambrosia, which we have with Sean Torbati and Mike Rashid.
So you own part of all these companies?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I do a lot of stuff. I'm also, my proudest accomplishment is I am a high school strength coach for wrestling. So I stay busy.
That's cool. And you got a couple kids, right?
Yes, I do. I have 3 kids, unless one of them left while I was gone. So I have a 16-year-old daughter. I have a 14-year-old son and another 9-year-old son. So my kids are all awesome. They're good kids.
And you're kind of living the American dream in a way. Like, you're an entrepreneur. You've had these businesses for a long time. You've been somebody that has loved fitness and strength training for a really long time. You recently became a pro bodybuilder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So in December, I won my FBB pro card. So I was actually boxing. I retired from bodybuilding because bodybilding is kind of silly.
Do you have some ADHD or something? What's going on here?
Yes, I do have ADHD. Will this help it?
I think so.
Yes,
maybe.
Drink the whole thing.
I will. I'm going to drink the whole thing.
Yeah, a little mind bullet down the old hatch.
Let's do a mind bullet. Cheers.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, man. Sorry, I got excited.
Almost jumped the gun.
It's okay.
He almost had to say grace.
Sometimes I do it a little too fast.
And that's okay.
It happens.
That's
to all
what
of
she
us.
Said.
Tastes like juice.
How long have you been married for?
So many kids.
Dude, I've been with my wife 25 years this year.
Congratulations. That's
awesome. So so April 13, 2002, we got married, and for some reason, she stayed around. I have no idea why, but we've been married, high school sweethearts, captain of the football team, captain of the cheerleading team, and here we are.
You were captain of the football team and the cheerleading team? Wow.
Well, I was amazing.
You were ahead of your time.
Dude, it would be crazy. I'd have to run off the field. Yeah, my wife was a cheerleader.
That's great.
No, she wasn't the football player. She just didn't have the genetics. You know, she wasn't willing to, you know, do that extra step. Wasn't willing to take steroids. But I was. So here we are.
And so more recently, with the Outright Bar, the explosion of the Outright Bar,
yeah.
You got in some interesting contracts and got into some stores, some box stores and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so we have, I believe, over 100,000 total stores, including gas stations, C stores. GNC is a great customer of ours, you know, some Targets and Walmarts, all that good stuff, right? So we're crushing it. And grocery is great. We have HEB, Hy-Vee, Giant Eagle. We're doing a great job. And the bar is growing. It's a great bar. It brought something different to the market.
What does that look like for you, like walking into these stores or maybe even going in with your kids and showing your children, like, hey, that's a bar that dad's been working on. This is the crazy stuff I've been talking about in the house for the last 4 or 5 years.
It is dope. I mean, with lack of better terms. Like, it is cool to walk in. I just did a tour 2 weeks ago in the Midwest at Hy-Vee. So I went into 18 Hy-Vee stores in 3 days, three different states, 2,000 miles driven. It was nuts. But every Hy-Vee store I'd go into, you'd see it and you're like, ah, that's pretty freaking awesome. Mm. You know, and the fact is you're in a grocery store, so no one knows who the hell you are. Mm. So I'm like trying to, you know, convince like 60-year-olds, like in walkers, that this is the bar for them.
Do you know who came from Hy-Vee? Do you know?
Who's that?
Kurt Warner.
He did.
Yeah,
he was his store.
He was working at Hy-Vee, and then
goodness.
Then he's throwing touchdown passes for the Rams.
I didn't know it was Hy-Vee.
And he's a Super Bowl MVP. Yeah,
Hy-Vee is an amazing store.
And seeing what it was the greatest show on turf.
He's bagging groceries.
Marshall Falk, Kurt Warner, amazing Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah, he's I'll tell you what, Hy-Vee is a great account of ours, but you know, we had this year we've had a couple things go on, and I think as business owners we have to make decisions on how we want our brand. How we want to actually make a mark on the world and
Let's
how
just
we can
back up for 1 second. What were the bars designed for?
The bars were actually made for my kids. So it was we were at a soccer tournament in the Midwest called the Midwest Cup, and my daughter was playing center mid. And basically center mids just run a lot.
Yeah.
So we had three games that day and there's nothing to feed her. I love the One Bar, I love the Quest Bar, but there's like 15 grams of fiber in it. Mm. You can't eat that between games. Mm. Or else you're either gonna shit yourself or cramp. And they had like funnel cakes and nachos, whatever they have at tournaments. And, you know, there's nothing. We have Z bars and Cliff bars, which are just carbs. Yeah. They just spike and drop. And you're basically going to crash during the game. So we were able to, it took me 4 years, 3.5 years. And I wanted to make a bar that had superfoods, basically peanut butter for essential fats. Basically, I wanted to have for, you know, that nice, that energy source, fats. Fats are key. I want monounsaturated fats. I wanted to have superfood honey as a carb source and whey protein isolate as the protein source. And we were able to stabilize it and be able to mass produce it. And that came out with the Outward Bar. I didn't expect people to buy it because every bar on the market at the time was net carbs, which, by the way, the Quest Bar, I believe, has more carbs than my bar, but they're net carbs.
Right.
So they don't count the prebiotic fiber, but they count. And it's probably messed up many people's diets because they're like, they don't count those carbs. And then they're getting all these carbs, but on the label it says it doesn't have these carbs.
It's kind of confusing. You kind of scratch your head sometimes looking at some of those.
Well, if a bar has 290 calories and the carbs, fat, and protein don't even come close to that, you're like, how does that even work? But they count as net carbs. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying as a guy who likes, who diets and gets ready for shows and stuff, it makes it very difficult.
You're trying to give the kids energy. And in a lot of these other products, there's fiber, which doesn't get digested the same way as these energy sources.
Yeah, yeah. And also for a lot of people like me, I have IBS. I can't eat Quest bars.
Oh, man, I knew there was something up with me.
Oh, really? It bothers you in your IBS?
It's horrible. I like them. I used to love Quest bars, but I couldn't eat them. So, we came out with the Outright Bar, and it combines, you know, a peanut butter, almond butter, or cashew butter as the base. Mm-hmm. And then it has honey in there as the carb source, as it basically helps hold it together. And it's a superfood. Honey's amazing. And it also has a very low glycemic response.
I've had it. It's really fucking good.
It is. And then you have whey protein isolate, which
your
is...
your bars taste amazing. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that.
So and it's shelf stable. So we're able to keep it on shelf for about 12 months. So
Did you have any like trial and error periods? Because I hear about people trying to develop a protein bar or a protein shake. I mean, we've watched Mark go through tons of different things for all the within you protein shakes. So was there like a bumpy road to get here?
We sampled a coconut flour based Outright bar. Uh-huh. I believe it was 2 years in at the Arnold. And it was like people would eat it. They're like, well, if it's good for me, I'd eat it. And you're like, oh, that's not going to work. It was just not right. It was dry. It was crumbly. It was weird. Mm. But yeah, we had some revisions that were pretty friggin' bad. But we were able to do it. And, October of 2018, we launched at the Olympia.
Cool. Yeah, because we were kind of learning about this stuff too, about like people white labeling things. So it's like maybe somebody might get a bar and just put their logo on it and be like, yep, I made it. But you guys actually had to go through all the trials and all that good stuff.
Well, actually, if you look at one of the largest bar manufacturers, they actually have in their spec sheet, it's called the Quest Bar. You could literally take a Quest Bar or something like a Quest Bar and put your label on it.
Oh, shit.
Really? And,
oh, yeah, absolutely. They're stock bars. People do that with supplements, too. Like
I know
a lot
supplements,
of,
but I didn't realize like Quest Bar, like,
yeah,
like specifically do. Quest Bars or something like the Quest Bar.
The company would probably get sued if it got out there, and that's why I didn't mention names. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, cool, let me look at this manufacturer right here. And they sent me a list, and I'm like, you literally called it the Quest Bar. So, but I didn't really care. I didn't want to make, I didn't make this bar to sell it. Mm-hmm. I did not expect it to sell. I wanted to just sell enough of it through our base at Tiger Fitness to be able to eat it for free myself. Nice. That was the whole goal. And at the beginning, we launched it. It takes longer to make boxes. We literally just launched bars because you get digital wrappers. So we literally just had these bars without boxes. So these stores were like, can we order this? We're getting demand. And we're like, well, we don't have boxes. They're like, cool, just send the bars. So they'd literally go buy like baskets, wicker baskets from Big Lots and put them in there. So it was one of those accidents. Mm-hmm. Like every other thing I've done in life, I've been like, yeah, this might actually work financially. This is the only thing I've ever done where I had no intention of making money. I just wanted to make a cool bar for my kids and myself.
And it's been the thing that's made you the most money? Or no?
Well, it's a lower margin SKU.
Okay.
I'll tell you this, it's grown faster than anything else I've ever done. And it's been a learning experience because, you know, I deal a lot D2C, direct to consumer, mm-hmm. and dealing with grocery stores is a whole new ballgame. Mm. So it's a pain in the butt. It's really not as fun, but I've had to learn because I handle all of our sales. Every company I have, other than Ambrosia, I handle all of our sales B2B. So it forced me to, you know, in a late phase of my career, I'm in my late 30s at the time. It forced me to learn how to do something new, which was awesome. But it's also the biggest pain in my ass that I could ever imagine. I would much rather just deal with consumers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, dealing with big accounts.
Right.
I don't know if you've done it, but it's a different world.
Mm-hmm. What has happened more recently? You know, we saw some of the things on like Twitter and mm-hmm. some of the posts and some of the controversy. You had a situation with a big box, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, as you guys know, there's mandates. I don't know if I can say the V word, but there's mandates going on. And, you know, I'm a big freedom guy. And I'm pretty adamant in saying that I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I don't care. Like, I'm not a big Trump guy. I mean, we talked about that. I'm not wearing a MAGA hat. You know, I'd consider myself, if you look at what I believe in, up until this year, it's kind of shifted more. But I'm a 90s Democrat. Like basically is what my political philosophy was. Right now, the left has gone so far off the cliff. Like they won't even accept me if I wanted to be one. Right. But basically in the 90s, you know, I was like, yeah, the Clinton guy's pretty freaking cool. You know? So long story short, Kroger, which we've been talking to, and we were just about to close an agreement, a huge agreement. They're the largest grocery chain in the country.
Jeez.
They own Ralph's. They own a lot of things. You know, they put together not a mandate per se, but they're surcharging people who did not get the shot. Mm. And they're charging them extra and they're denying them some of their benefits for being an employee. And so
that's legal?
No, it's not, but it'll be overturned in courts.
Okay.
Once people start suing. There was just a court case today where it was they have an injunction, I forgot what it was, but court cases are starting to come down saying you can't do it. It was on United Airlines.
Mm. Okay.
United Airlines. So what my thing was, I woke up in the morning, I read this, and I normally don't make big decisions like this on my own. Mm. And my wife usually, when I do stuff like this, she's like, you're an idiot. Stop. You know, but I said, Katie, I can't work with people who are denying the right to choose to their employees and treating people differently. America has a very bad history of treating people differently. It never ends well. Mm-hmm. Like, think about it. There's still people alive who survived internment camps here.
Yeah.
Right here, like literally right in Sacramento. Like, it's crazy. Internment camps, slavery, all these different things. Anytime you segregate two groups, it doesn't end well. So I'm like, Katie, I don't think we should do business with them until they change this. I think, and I expect it. I'm like, Katie, I'm like, I don't care. I just can't do it. She's like, done, do it.
Wow.
So I sent the email. I'm like, cool. Sent the email. I'm like, look, until you get rid of this mandate, we can't do business with you. And he's like, are you sure about this? I'm like, absolutely. So long story, this is the email I wrote to Kroger. So long story short, the only reason I posted it on social media, I had no idea anybody would care, was because I told people we're going to be in Kroger because the deal was that close.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm like, I did this. And then all of a sudden it gets retweeted by Donald Trump Jr. and all these, you know, you'd call them the right.
Yeah. Now you're the man.
Yeah. So, yeah. So now I've established myself as a white supremacist.
Oh no.
Bucket.
Wait, by you simply engaging in this conversation, you're a white supremacist too.
Stop it, Mark. Stop.
Can I mention I'm a Jew?
You got the star, David, right there.
I literally have a star. Somebody messaged me the other day. I'd hate to get off topic. He's like, oh, you wear the Jewish star. Are you Jewish? I'm like, what? Who the fuck would wear a Jewish star and not be Jewish? I'm like, that's crazy. Like, that's just asking for people to fuck with you for no reason.
Oh, shit.
You know, you got to have some belief in this shit, right? Oh, so, and then it just went nuts. Next thing you know, I'm on Tim Pool. I'm on Jesse Kelly. I'm on all these, you know, cool talk shows. And the thing is, you know, what's really weird for me is I'm just a freedom guy. And I don't believe we should force people to do anything. And what really disappointed me is I expected other companies that were within Kroger, within the set, like bars, and you go through the bar section and know who I'm talking about, and they're on their Instagram preaching freedom in America, and they're grifting on this right-wing bullshit. None of them pulled their fucking bars. None of them. I'm not going to name names.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. When we die from COVID. Now, when we die...
That was good.
Just bleep it.
No, we're okay.
Isn't that what they want us to say, though, right?
I don't know.
Like, that's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to, let me call Zuckerberg. But when we die, no one gives a shit what kind of car you drive. No one cares that we're millionaires. Like, Mark, you've done well, but no one's going to remember you for your money.
Right.
Except for that rap video, which was fucking hot. I watched that the other day.
Oh, awesome.
I felt awkward watching it. Like, it was like looking someone in the eye doing the good girl, bad girl machine.
I think you felt awkward because you weren't in it.
Why wasn't I invited, dude?
I don't know. We'll have to do another one.
I'm down. So, when we die, like, no one's going to give a shit about how much money we made. People are going to remember me, like my kids who I coach in high school. They're going to remember me for show them how to deadlift or make them strong enough to go to state. You know, they're going to remember us for the charitable work we did, for the lives we changed, for the people we affected. They don't care about money. And I don't want my kids or anybody I know to think that, okay, this guy talked a big game, but when he had an opportunity to stand up, he didn't do anything. And I thought for sure I would be the catalyst. I thought for sure that if I did this, that other companies would be like, yeah, this is not cool. Stop. And if three other companies did it, Kroger would have reversed it. Unfortunately, you know, people just don't have the balls. And that's why you got to look at these people grifting. Like, they're online and they're like, they're playing this right wing or left wing, but do they really believe what they're doing? Or are they just doing it for the money? Are they just saying these sound bites for the money? I actually believe in what I believe in. And if I believe in something, I will die for that cause. I will die on that hill, 100%. And that's what I have an issue with, is when people present themselves as something that they're not. I'm not a fan.
Is it easy, though? Like, for example, if other companies pulled their bars, I don't know the intricate aspects of this level of business. But since they already have deals with Kroger, can they just pull it? Like,
there's going to be a contractual out. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's going to be something there. And even if there isn't, you just don't supply them.
Fair.
You just don't supply them. I mean, you stop. Just like, for example, the trucker thing. They're like, no, we're just going to park our trucks. And granted, it's not as big as parking trucks. Trucks are big.
Yeah.
we're basically just saying, no, we're not going to supply you until you change this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a big ask. It's literally a $50 surcharge. It's not really that big of a deal, but it is. What does it lead to? Like, you got to look at what you look at, like, oh, well, just shut down for 2 weeks. Bro, it's 2 years later and we are still, now Tennessee never did anything. We don't care. Everybody, there's no one left in Tennessee. We all died. We didn't do any of this. But then I fly to California. I fly to New York. I fly to these other places. I'm like, that 2 weeks, that really worked out for you, right? Oh, just wear the mask. And then you look at what they're doing. Then mandates. If I was to say when I came here a year ago that right now they'd be trying to mandate you put an experimental technology in your body, and I'm not saying it doesn't work, but it is experimental. Would you be like, dude, you're nuts. You're a right-wing conspiracy theorist.
That's what a lot of people were saying, yeah.
So the thing is, you got to look at what it opens up. Like, you got to realize Nazi Germany. And again, I'm not saying that a vaccine is Nazi Germany. Mm. There's a lot of parallels, though. But look at it this way. They didn't just all of a sudden go like, hey, let's kill the Jews.
Careful, because that Star Wars chick made the same thing. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah, you're right.
You're talking about, never mind.
Yeah, Mandalorian girl. Yeah,
was she Jewish, though?
Gina Carano.
Gina Carano? I don't know if she was Jewish.
I got the Jew card, bro.
You do. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
I do have the Jew card, man. I can.
Whoopi Goldberg got canceled.
But she's not even Jewish. She just stole her name.
Yeah, no, I know. I know.
How dare she steal Goldberg? That's like the Jewishest name in the book. I'm offended. That's misappropriation of Jewish language.
Where did she get that last name, though? Is it her family name?
No, she Goldberg? Made it up.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's literally just she's like picked up. Well, I mean, if you're going into Hollywood, you might as well go Goldberg. Like, we own the fucking city.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Real talk. And I'm happy you're saying this right now, and I can laugh on my end.
You know what's funny? This topic is the one topic a Jewish guy has more leeway than a black guy.
Yeah, you do. You really do right now. I'm enjoying it.
The Holocaust is our N-word, okay? It's like, dude, you can't say that.
Woo, Mark.
Someone came up to me and was like,
Mark is straddling a line. He's just balancing real good.
He's pushing that line.
Really
over.
Good.
I wore the star for a reason today.
It's all out too. You're like, because hey.
You can't tell people are Jewish a lot of the time.
That's true. You can't.
I mean, except my brother. That dude looks really Jewish.
Why? Like, what's the look?
He's got the tiny head like I do, but a bigger nose.
I knew it.
And he's bald. For some reason, I just think of, when I see a Jewish guy, I just see a bald guy with a yarmulke.
I have a question, actually, real quick. Why don't you wear a yarmulke? Is that like a thing that you can just choose to wear and choose to not?
Yeah, so I'm not, so for me, Judaism is more of a heritage thing.
Okay.
I'm not going to temple. I don't do the whole, like, we are very bad Jews. But I'm very, for me, it's a heritage thing.
Okay.
And of course, it's like, this way I could tell the jokes.
You became more spiritual more recently, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that
absolutely.
Like, is that a church thing or is that a Bible thing or is that are you practicing that in some particular way or just on your daily life kind of thing?
You know, I think that I got skin cancer this year and just, you know, for some reason, like I'm looking at life and one day I'm like, and I've been agnostic my whole life. And I literally was like, I woke up one day and I'm like, I believe in God. Like, it was just like, I was in, I was ready. Like, I just accepted it. And so then I wanted to find a religion. So I looked into, I talked to churches, I talked to different people. And it was like, and I love the whole God thing. And for me, I'm not saying that I won't be Christian later. I'm open. Like I can change my views. Like obviously you don't just go agnostic for 40 years of your life and then be like, ha, I found the answer. Mm. I found part of the answer. And for me, my faith and my family history of being Jewish is just something that I feel I'm proud of. And you know, we have a society now where they're almost telling people not to be proud of your heritage. And I don't think that should be true in any fashion. Like all cultures have their ghosts and all cultures have their benefits, their positives. And for me, I'm looking at a rich heritage of people who have overcome adversity in every situation, of people who have literally just within a lifetime. There's still, again, there's survivors of the Holocaust walking around right now, you know, and my grandfather, the reason I'm here is my grandfather escaped Auschwitz.
Oh shit, really?
So like, I'm like, yeah, this is something I want to be proud of. And you have a society where it's like, well, you need to apologize for your skin color. I'm like, well, skin color doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. Like we were just talking about someone earlier, you know, who's, you're like, no way is that guy half this or half that. It's like, it's just melanin. That means nothing. But everybody from Italians to Africans to wherever you're from should be somewhat proud of their heritage and know that we all have some, every culture has done some bad stuff.
Yeah.
every culture has done some bad stuff. And I just want to promote the fact that we can be proud of who we are, but that doesn't mean we're better than anybody. Like, it doesn't. It doesn't mean like I'm not better than you because my people roamed the desert for 25 years. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make me better than you. It just happens to be what I was born. Like, we didn't have a checkbox of what we're going to be born as. You know, it's like, I didn't get to choose. It's like, would you like to be black, white, Jewish, Christian? No, you're born. You didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And you're given that skin color. You're given that heritage. So why should anybody be ashamed of it?
Did you wake up, this one particular day and kind of believe in God, you think, because maybe you felt there was like something on your side all along? Like you woke up one day and you're like, life's pretty good. Like, my wife's a badass. My kids are awesome. Like, all this stuff I'm really grateful and thankful for. And maybe there is a higher power at play here.
Well, I think if you look at everything in life, look at the body, how intricate it is, how confusing it is.
Yeah.
How does this shit even make sense? Like, this didn't come from primordial ooze. You know, it didn't come from, you know, some kind of boom. Uh-huh. The body is so elaborate, so confusing, how it all works together. And you look at everything around you, and I think it just one day it clicked that, hey, wait a second, there is something bigger than us. And then it's like, I would like to have a faith. And again, like, I'm still exploring Christianity.
Yeah.
I'm still exploring Jesus Christ. I'm still looking into all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a journey we all go on through life.
Yeah.
A spiritual journey. And mine happens to be different. I think it also took me more time than most people to mature. Mm. I think at 40 years old, I finally hit a curve where I'm like, I think I like the man I am right now.
Mature in what way, though? Because what way?
I think being able to actually look at the moment and live in the moment and not forsake the moment for the future.
Ah.
You know, I missed out. And now it's like when I'm at a wrestling tournament or I'm at a soccer game, I'm taking it in and I'm absorbing every second of it. And I used to get mad at the stupidest things and I used to miss things. Uh-huh. You know, I used to miss soccer games and I used to miss all these. I missed my first two kids' first steps growing these companies.
Do you not think that, I mean, it's hard to wonder, but at that time, do you not think that mindset was necessary for you as an individual? Because everyone is like, be in the present, understand what's going on now. But you were so future oriented, and it allowed you to build successful businesses.
I wouldn't change it.
Okay.
But I can't get that time back. So to be successful in business, Mark, I'm going to point to you because you've built this empire. You probably missed some stuff and you probably look back and say, I wish I was there. But then you look at your big ass house and you look at what you've built and you're like, well, my kids have generational wealth. Is it worth the trade-off? That's the question. Is it worth the trade-off? I could say right now, because things worked out. My marriage, thank God, worked out. We went to counseling. We got everything fixed. My kids don't harbor any anger towards me. I'm there. Like, I'm there coaching them. I'm there at every game. It was amazing. Yeah.
I was there pretty good. I mean, I'm around a lot, but there's still a huge price to pay.
Yes.
That comes with success. You know, there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad. There's a lot of like, my network of friends is very tiny. You know, my network of friends when I was younger was very large. But as you know, as you go through this kind of stuff, it's I don't know how to put it. It's like, the positive outweighs a lot of the negative.
Yeah.
But you end up kind of isolated in some ways. You end up being put in like a particular category. So for my kids, like, I've been there and stuff, but there's other factors that they have to deal with. They have to deal with my social media. Like, that's part of their growing up. That's part of their life. Mm. Everything I do, everything I say, anything I say on here can and will be used against my children and my wife, you know, like, so there's definitely a huge price to pay. There's like a wake of people, that kind of lie in the success of anybody, anybody that's getting anywhere. And it's not like I fucked a lot of people over or anything. It's just that you end up splitting your ways. You kind of recognize that sometimes your things don't match up quite as well. So for me personally, I was there, but, there's still a giant price to pay. But in talking with CT Fletcher the other day, you know, CT's, you know, his legs get real swollen and stuff from having the
it's my business partner right there. Yep.
Yeah, he's the best. Having that heart transplant.
Did you see his feet the other day?
Yeah.
I said that sounded so weird.
Yeah. It's on Instagram.
He posted his foot and someone pushed on his foot and it stayed down. He gets this crazy edema.
Right. And so he was I was talking to him about that. I said, I have a lot of friends that might be able to help. They're really smart. They're doctors, so, and so on. We went back and forth. And he was grateful that I had people to kind of point in his direction. But in typical C.T. Fletcher fashion, he said, this is a small price to pay for still being alive.
Yeah, goodness.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to take that on. I like that a lot. I like that. That's a good, powerful quote. So anytime anything's happening, you know, some of the things that I've been able to do or achieve or whatever, it's a small, you know, the things that have happened that are negative is definitely like a small price to pay.
Oh, absolutely. I don't regret anything I've done in life because it led to who I am today. Even the mistakes, the hurtful, painful mistakes, I would not have the perspective I have now. And that's why
it sounds a little bit like a sobriety almost that you went through.
Absolutely. I mean, and we all get caught up in our hype. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you're young and you're good at something. Like, I'm good at business. And when you're younger, in your 30s and your 20s, and everything you do seems to work, you get that invincible feeling. You know, the NFL guys who drunk drive and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You get your own version of that. And I think that we all have the ability. Lucky for me, it wasn't as insane as others, but I did get caught up in myself. Because it seemed like at one point in my early 30s, everything I did was a home run. You know, I'd do this and it's like, oh, that company worked. I'd do this. Oh, that worked. And everything was just right. But in real life, that wasn't business. That wasn't anything else. Like, I was kind of a piece of shit. You know, I'm not saying I screwed people over, but to that, my circle, the people who matter the most, you know, your family.
Yeah. How so? Like, what did you do?
I was not a good husband at the time, just mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I wasn't there. And for my kids, I was there when I was there. A lot of it has to do with when you have kids. My wife and I, we put all our attention to the kids, but we forgot about each other. And that's good and bad, because without both parents in harmony, your kids are going to suffer.
Yeah.
So you have to make that time. And even now, like right now I say that, we're guilty. Like my wife and I haven't had a date night in a year and a half. Bro, we got three kids playing three sports.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not happening. And when we go on vacation, where am I going to put the kids? Mm-hmm. And we don't have family. So we've learned to make it work. Like I could show you my text last night with my wife. I texted her she was in sleep already. You know, we got 2 hour time difference. I'm like, hey, I know right now we're not spending much time together, but you know, here's the main goal. So we're there. I mean, we have a 16-year-old daughter who drives. She'll be in college in a couple of years. She's a baller, stud. She actually, I want to shout her out. She bought me this outfit, Lululemon. So the reason I say that is because I would never spend Lululemon money, but my daughter had my credit card and she bought me a Christmas gift.
That's a very interesting thing. Real quick. You have money.
Bought herself a little something too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have money.
Some.
Why? Okay. Some.
Not
but,
all of it.
But Lululemon. Yeah. It's a bit premium.
It's very premium.
But you wouldn't. Why? Why wouldn't you do that? Because you have the funds to wear comfortable things.
I'm just cheap.
That lasts for a long time. It pays for itself. That shirt's going to last you for the next 5 years.
It's a
brother.
Beautiful shirt.
Yeah.
I don't take the time to shop. Okay. I just don't. And it's just, it doesn't cross my mind. Like, I was really excited. I found a pair of baggy sweats on Amazon for $12.
Nice.
Yeah, I was really excited about that. But I'm just not that guy. It's not my priority. Like, cars and clothes, it's not really my priority.
You need a Mike Rashid makeover.
Mike Rashid had a makeover? He's always been swaggy.
He can make this guy over. Like, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Mike's always got the clothes and the shoes. And
yeah, we're a little bit different on that note. But obviously, Mike's one of my best friends, business partner. Mike's my brother.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's, you know, Mike likes nice things.
Yeah.
Nice things too. But for me, for me, a nice thing is, you know, buying a new hex bar, you know, I'm really a nerd. Like I'm so focused on business and my kids. Like, and when I say my kids, I mean my biological kids and the kids I coach.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I want to give props to the 8 Ravenwood High School kids who are going to state for wrestling this week.
Let's go!
Yeah. We have 3 girls. Our girls' team won regional champs the first time ever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just an amazing program.
Do you have a wrestling background?
No, not at all. But I do still have a bone bruise right here from when I tried to learn it. I'm a strength coach. So, and I got my license to, you know, do wrestling coaching and do all that. But you know, at the end of the day, a strength coach can do anything. Mm-hmm. That's the beautiful right. thing. So no matter what sport my kids play, and the high school asked me to coach. And I'm like, you haven't seen my social media, have you? And they're like, no, we don't care. We just want to win games. I'm like, yes. And dude, these kids, we had one kid go to state last year.
Wow.
Now we have eight.
That's awesome.
I'm so, dude, so that's, and I'll tell you what, going back to the pro card, it wasn't like, it was obviously my family did the video and because my family didn't come because they have soccer games and stuff. I'm not going to make them miss. Seeing that video was awesome, but the best thing ever was going back and coaching my kids on Tuesday because they were proud.
Yeah.
And I have literally over 50 kids. And that's the beautiful thing about what coaching brings. And my life was changed by a coach. Mm. And if we all could give time to community, like what do you do to give to the next generation? What do you do to give to your community? For me, I coach. Mm. And that's where I get more fulfillment than anything. Anything.
Yeah.
People get hung up on people having money. So in your case with this situation with Kroger,
yeah.
would the less mature, less financially well-off Mark Loebliner make the same decision with Kroger, do you believe?
That's a tough one because we've, I don't know.
I mean, you got money now, so you can be like, ah, oh, fuck it, man. I don't care.
I mean, dude, I don't know if I'll ever have enough money where over $1 million isn't money. You know, like that's still a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It depends. 24-year-old Mark, I would have probably been like, yeah, we just need to look the other way. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'd like to say my ethics are without bounds, but being broke sucks too.
Situation matters, yeah.
I think from 33 on, I think I had the wherewithal. I also don't know if my ethics were set at that point. I don't know if I had the ethical compass I have now. That took time. So right now, I would literally drive myself to the poorhouse to keep my ethics intact. Back then, I was so fearful of failing that I would have probably just been like, no, we're going to take the deal. So I've changed. Like we've all changed. Like since we've known each other, I've changed. Since last year, I've changed. Mm-hmm. Like think about what's happened in the
last year. You've changed a lot since I first met you. Yeah.
I mean, think about what's happened in the last year. Think about everything from not the pro card stuff, but I literally became a full-time coach. Like you're obviously growing yourself. Like I see you're more in tune with health and fitness and just being healthy.
Right.
Like you're probably the most biohacking healthy motherfucker I know. Like you Thank walk you. For 12 hours. Did you do 20,000 steps a day?
I did. Yeah. I did 20,000 steps a day for like a month. And now it's kind of just born into me at this point, burned into me.
Where are you walking?
You also did 100,000 steps in one day, right?
Was it 100,000? Were you just walking the whole day?
Yeah. One day I walked the entire day.
What kind of shoes were you wearing? Cause I need to get those shoes.
I got to switch them up quite a bit, but shoes like this kind of work a lot. Just like really? Almost like loafers or sandals or something can work really good just because they're super comfortable.
What I think is really great about what you promote is you're promoting an active lifestyle more than anything. Yeah. Like get moving. A lot of people don't realize like when you go to the grocery store, you go to Walmart, you're doing cardio.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be on a treadmill to walk.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the first time I met you was at a Walmart.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's a beautiful
story. Is that fucking Mark Loebliner?
I just think that I think people's physical health is so poor that it's quite obvious that their mental health is going to suffer at some point as well. So if somebody is, you know, walking up a couple flights of stairs and they get really fatigued, I kind of look at that as like, okay, the stairs might represent something that happens in your day-to-day, somebody gives you bad news or you get a bad text message or something hits you the wrong way at a certain point and you don't know how to deal with it well. Yeah. And your heart rate gets a little out of whack the same way as the stairs. And so I just kind of think like, well, why not just be prepared for the stairs? Like be in better condition. If you have better physical health, I believe that your mental health will be a lot easier to deal with.
Well, also, I mean, if you're in bad physical health, what we've seen, you die.
Yeah.
Like the number one comorbidity for everything is obesity.
Yeah.
And they haven't come out with them yet, but where do you think the obesity rate's at now after 2020 and 2021 people locked down?
I heard in the subset of a certain age group, it was like, I want to say 8 to like 15 or something. And I'm going to butcher some of this. So I'm just going to say it in very general terms. I don't remember the exact stats, but I want to say it. They said that the obesity rate increased 50%. In a similar amount of time before the pandemic happened.
Wow.
So in this like, I guess you'd say 2 years. So in the previous 2 years, we were still gaining weight. Like everyone's still
getting fatter.
Getting fatter.
Yeah.
Especially our youth.
Oh my God.
But in the same time frame, that has doubled since the pandemic has started.
That's insane. And that's something we really need to work on as a society.
It was like 30,000 people in a study or something like that.
That's a very good size, by the way. That is a huge study. Even if it's one of those, why am I blanking on the term? Whatever.
Like, yeah, I get you.
Population studies.
Epidemiological study.
Yep. So even if it's one of those that whatever, but one thing I've been really pushing home is health and fitness and not being fat. And people get really offended by the term fat. And
you
can't
even use that in certain things on YouTube now, in terms of titling.
Well, I tell people to unfat themselves because that is the number one way you can survive.
Yeah.
Look, man, in 2015, I got hand, foot, and mouth disease. And it crushed me. One in a million adults can get it.
Pull that up.
It's horrible, dude.
My
skin on my hands, my nails fell off. I couldn't walk for 5 days.
What caused it?
Children's Museum. Yeah, we went to a children's museum, those little dirty bastards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so most adults can't get it.
Gross.
I got it the worst.
I'm lucky because my feet won't reach my mouth. So,
so you haven't tried hard enough.
Poor kids.
I mean, maybe I'm just missing something, but like, how is it? Maybe you touched something and then something got in your mouth?
It could have been, or just virus. Like, viruses are.
I don't want to pull it up.
No,
I can't. I can't see kids like that. That sucks.
Yeah, no, it's gross.
Yeah, it's nasty. But
yeah, most parents kind of know what it is. Yeah,
yeah. It's my kids literally got a sore in their mouth. It wasn't anything, but since I never had it as a kid, I got it as an adult. So what I'm saying is the reason it only affected me for 5 days, and I didn't have to get anything amputated or whatever else can happen with that, is because I was in shape.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we're gonna get sick. Whether it's the flu, whether it's the thing we can't talk about, whether it's whatever, whether it's cancer, your chances of surviving the environment, what it throws at you, are multiple times higher. And we know that the people who died in the last couple years of the thing we can't talk about, most of them were obese or had comorbidities. Now, I'm not saying that lean people can't die. I'm saying that every day you want to improve your chances of not dying.
Absolutely.
Because life is awesome. Also, being in shape, your quality of life is awesome. Like, dude, my quality of life is so awesome.
How old are you right now?
I'm 41.
Yeah.
Just the other night, like, where my son had a soccer birthday party at an indoor facility. They're like, okay, let's play pickup games, dad versus kids.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Let's rock. You know, the other day I was coaching my wrestling kids and, you know, making them do sprints and they weren't running hard enough. So I ran with them. Because if you let an old fat guy, an old bodybuilder beat you, fat guy is not really the right term. If you let an old bodybuilder beat you, you suck.
What does that run like this?
Yeah, I was going to say, what does that look like?
What does it run like?
I look pretty awesome. Okay. So the thing is, I could show you guys later, like I'm actually, so because I'm an Exos performance coach, like my movements are actually awesome. Like lateral skipping, pop skipping, all that. And I've demonstrated them so many times. And
I'm just giving you shit, by the way. I know you move.
I look stupid though. Like I do look stupid.
You look like a fucking,
you look like this fucking John Cena thing up here, man. Yeah, like you look like this.
I look ridiculous. But you know, the kids look at me and they're like, I did not expect him to move like that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I sprinted. It was like 20 degrees out. We're in the morning at the wrestling team out there, the kids who are going to regionals. And I'm like, y'all ain't running hard enough. Because what I did is I purposely brought my daughter there, who's a sophomore female wrestler. She's the only girl there. I'm like, don't let my daughter beat you. And she beats like all of them. I'm like, okay, she's going to beat you, but I can't beat you.
Yeah, yeah.
And she beat like 50% of them, but they picked it up.
Good for her.
Well, she's a beast. You know, my kids are just ridiculous. They're great. I don't know if it's on accident or what, but they're just doing really cool stuff. And I'm just kind of along for the ride. And it's almost in spite of me.
Well, captain of the football team and captain of the cheerleading team make babies. What do you expect?
I don't know, man.
How have you encouraged your kids to be healthy?
Well, I mean, we don't. That's the thing. The main message I get on Instagram, which is why I'm kind of trying to do more kids training stuff, is when can my kid train? How do I get my kid to train? And I never told them to train. Like my kids asked me.
You encourage them to play?
Well, I mean.
Or options to go outside?
Get off your damn iPad. Let's go. Or go play with them. Hey, I have a soccer ball. Let's go. Yeah. Hey, let's
That's the main thing right there. I think go play with them.
Bingo.
Parents like, go outside, play some soccer. It's like the kid's not going to randomly
drinking a six pack.
Kid's not going to randomly do that.
No, I mean, they do when they get older because it's become, but also I think seeing me wake up every morning and training. And I think that's the thing. It's lead by example. Like you can't have a parent. I got in trouble because they thought it was about them. I did a video on basically club sports, and these parents go to the soccer games, and it could be a 10 o'clock game. Afterwards, they're at a sports bar getting drunk, and it's endemic. And the reason I said it is because my brother, who actually has a baseball club, he was talking about it. But let's just say that a couple club teams, they do and do that. And I'm like, guys, I'm like, I don't know if we want to set that example that we should always be getting drunk at soccer tournaments. And I think we could do better. I think they want to lead by example. And needless to say, everybody on the team hates me now. But my thing is that all I ever did was just live my life. And I led by example. And going back to, you know, the time I missed with my kids, my kids now know that to be successful, you have to work your ass off. Because my kids were alive when I was driving literally for 3 weeks at a time, slanging branched chain amino acids with Extend. You know, my kids, by the way, just for a segue, I owned a company called Syvation, and we pioneered the intra-workout category. We had the first real intra-workout with Extend, not the penis product. I'm still small. But my muscles grew from the branched chains.
What about a penis pump? You ever use one of those?
I've never used one. Have you?
Boy, you should.
Do they make your size?
Hey, you'll like this. You're a numbers guy. We helped sell $150,000 worth of penis pumps.
How'd that work?
We demonstrated on the show, and everyone was impressed with what Nsema had to offer that day. So
when you go from 2 to 5, like, you get a, you know. But I'm selling myself short. 3. But... being real, like feet. it pumps extra blood into your dick and increases like your
helps give you a sensation like you're younger.
The amount of blood your dick's able to handle just increases, so it can increase girth and a bit of size.
It's literally chasing the pump, just
it's
like in
literally
the gym.
Chasing.
You know what? We'll send you one.
There you go. We'll have them send you one.
Okay, I'll gladly demonstrate that.
I was going to ask, by the way, is your wife also, was she active when you got...
Oh, is your wife into penis pumps?
Sorry.
his face was amazing.
He's like, wait a second.
He's like, what? I was so confused. I mean...
I was wondering if she was active like you were when you were younger, having to drive around. Like, because I learned to stay healthy from the way my mom did shit.
Yeah.
Like, she ate really well. I never drank sodas in the house. And that sprinkled through my adult years. Like, did your wife, because she was around the kids a lot, was she pretty active too? And
Yeah. My wife trains every day. She's just not, I mean, she's not a fitness person.
Yeah.
She's a normal lady. You know, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, my wife is a suburban soccer mom. She is the epitome of suburban soccer mom. My wife is the opposite of me. Like, everybody loves Katie. You've met Katie. Katie's just the most likable, happy, just positive person. Yeah. And I'm a fucking wrecking ball.
People are like, oh, here comes Katie. And they're like, oh, Mark's over here.
No, everybody loves her. And she's constantly, like, defending me. And God bless her for it. It's like, no, he's really not that big of a dick. You know, he's okay. But no, she's just a normal, but she trains 5 days a week and she's active. She just doesn't, she's not a fitness person. I mean, my wife is normal.
But she's health conscious.
Very health
normal
conscious.
Normal health conscious.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that we have a healthy family, you know, and that's what we promote. We do healthy stuff. Like we always, like we're going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which is a mountain community. And we go there. We're actually going to probably buy a house there in the next year.
Cool.
And not really for Airbnb, but mostly for us to. We go there so often. We're spending thousands of dollars on Airbnbs. And our trips are hiking. And my buddy Stan Williams, he owns the Elite Fitness in Gatlinburg. Mm-hmm. So we'll go there, wake up, train, go on a hike, go eat some food that's not good for us, and have a good time. For us, our vacations aren't based on like, oh my God, let's just go sit down and, you know, we go out and we hike and we do fun stuff. Like for us, that's what's fun.
Yeah.
We're a little bit different. You know, our kids are just, and our kids, like I'm a very, like I've been moving around this whole time. I've probably walked 400 steps since I've been standing here.
Yeah.
Like my kids are like me. So we can't just be like, okay, sit down. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, Dad, what the hell are we doing here? So I think as far as parenting goes, your kids are going to emulate you most likely.
Yeah.
In some ways, if you're an alcoholic, your kid's more likely to become alcoholic. If you're a drug addict, your kid's more likely to come to drug addict. You ever wonder, like, look at Brandon Curry, my business partner.
The bodybuilder, right?
Yeah. We own 0-1-5 Nutrition together. We're good friends with them. If you pull up his Instagram, his kids are ridiculous. Like, they got six packs. So it's part genetics. Brandy's also an IFBB pro. But dude, they live the life.
Is Brandy his wife?
Brandy's his wife. Like, there's Max. Damn. And Marvelous.
Got a handle on him.
Well, too.
So this kid, this kid is the number one ranked, I think, linebacker in the state of Tennessee at his age. 12.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
He's an absolute beast.
He's 12.
Yes. He is large.
Got handles.
Bruh.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at Brandon, like, that is our Mr. Olympia. Like,
oh, man.
He's a family guy. He is perfect. Like, he is what a great guy to have as a good friend.
Yeah.
Like, not just a business partner. It's cool making money together and then doing cool stuff, but like, what a good guy. If you saw his interview with Fouad, he just posted it yesterday. It's so good. It just shows Brandon who he is, what he does. 39 years old. He looks phenomenal.
You were training with him for quite some time, right?
We train together when he's in town, but when he goes to Kuwait, you know, I need to go to Kuwait. I need some of that. I need some of that magic sauce.
Everyone's getting big out there.
Well, they're getting big because everybody thinks it's some crazy stuff. It's not. Brandon has four kids. Can you imagine getting ready for Mr. Olympia with four kids?
Right.
No. Especially, like, his kids are nuts. Like, can you imagine having kids that are all alpha, all really strong? They're always fighting.
Yeah.
You know, and then he has a teenage girl.
Does he have four boys or? Oh, okay.
Three. So he has a teenage girl. She actually just got a full scholarship for soccer.
Damn.
And then he has his three boys.
Yeah.
So Zoe and Cammy are like, our kids are all best friends when they're together.
Oh, that's nice. Great.
We went to Disney World. It was the greatest time ever.
Yeah.
And our girls are just the same. And it was fun. Here's a funny story about the curry. Here's a curry. We're at their house having a barbecue. And we walk out front and my daughter and Zoe have boxing gloves on.
Oh, shit.
And they're sparring in the front yard. And I'm like, who does that?
Did I ever do boxing when they were younger?
My kids all boxed.
Your kids all boxed.
So my daughter did 2 years. She got pretty good. Now she does wrestling and soccer.
Yeah.
She's doing her first powerlifting meet on May 7th. Oh, Travis awesome. Mash is,
yeah,
is doing her
Travis
program.
Is amazing.
Travis is shorter than me, which is why I like him. But Travis, actually, I'm the first guy to sponsor him from Syvation. He was my first athlete at Syvation.
Who's Travis Mash?
Mash Elite. He is an
Olympic lifter and a really awesome Olympic lifting coach.
Wow. When he powerlifted, he was the strongest pound-for-pound lifter at the time.
Oh, he was insane.
Insane.
I remember he did a deadlift with like 800 pounds, but the way that he had it set up, he had he was standing on like a box.
Oh my gosh.
And the bar was like touching his feet. So it was a deficit deadlift that he did with like 800 pounds, and he just smashed it. I was like,
he's been one of my best friends for years. So my daughter, on her birthday, on January 30th, comes downstairs with her phone. Dad, I want to break every record at this powerlifting meet on May 7th. I'm like, cool.
Sick.
So I'm like, I'm going to get with Travis because I don't know how to program for that.
Right.
And Travis is like, anything for you. I'm like, done.
That's crazy.
She's getting trained by probably one of the best powerlifters of all time. But, you know, that's, my kids just love winning. Mm. Like, I lose a lot in life. We all do. But I always work to win. And that's what I try to provide for my athletes. It's like, look, dude, you're going to lose. Like, we have this kid on our team. His name's Will. Hardest working kid I've ever trained in my life. Mm-hmm. This kid, if I tell him to go 70%, he puts a one in front of it. Kid's a beast. And look, he did really well in regionals, didn't make state. Tell you what, he's going to be senior next year. That kid's winning state. Like, that's what I want. I want these kids to have such a work ethic that when they're in the real world, that they know they're going to lose. Mm-hmm. They might not get a promotion. They might not get a raise. But keep working. Keep outworking your competition. And you will make it.
Yeah.
And that's why I coach. I don't go in there with some weird like, oh no, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get this in their mind. No, I'm just telling them the truth. The harder you work, the luckier you get.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep working hard and you keep striving your goals, that's why I love coaching. People are like, why don't you get into politics? I'm like, no. That's not where I can make the difference in the world. And honestly, I couldn't handle it. Mm. I'm just not, I don't have that thick skin. It would destroy me. And I would probably get arrested for something. But no, I mean, the way I can make a difference is by coaching. And by instilling in them that, look, I didn't come from money. You know, I had to work for everything I have. And these kids, you know, I'm coaching, they live in Brentwood, Tennessee. They're doing okay. Mm. So they're already starting so far above me. Like, the sky's the limit. Yeah. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do. And I wish, honestly, part of me wishes I had more kids. Too late now. I get the snip.
Oh, I was going to ask, like, why not?
Yeah, I'm not getting that reversed.
I was going to ask.
Sounds complicated.
When you were talking about, you know, not your daughter setting up your Lululemon look, do you think your frugality as far as money has been, has it played any role in terms of your business success? Did that help?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything I do is basically, if you run a business, your key is to keep overhead down.
Yeah.
And luckily I have my business partners, like my wife, my business partner, Chad over at Tiger Fitness. Chad's cheaper than me. You know, so our thing is, like, obviously that we still give, like, our employees all get 401k, medical, all that good stuff, and a free gym and all that. Like, we give great benefits, great place to work, but we don't do the weird stuff like the company Ferrari, you know, or anything weird like that.
What do they do?
What
does Ferrari do?
No, the company Ferrari, the actually where you own a Ferrari for the company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where you're just kind of pulling a old like, you know, where you basically use your company to buy cool shit for yourself.
I got you.
We don't do that. Now, we do have cool stuff. I have a good life. I have stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can't run a business and just keep spending.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make it. So you need to work on your bottom line. And, you know, frugality is key. Because overhead for a business will eat you alive if you don't know how to control it.
Mm. Okay. What about, because you said, like, even when you guys go on vacation, you're kind of always, like, you and your wife aren't really getting any alone time.
Yeah.
And this is something that, like, I have been battling forever. But when I was a kid, we never went on vacation. My dad never missed a day of work. I don't know anything different. With my wife now, we have a one-year-old son. My daughter's 13. She will bring up, like, when are we going to go on vacation? And my answer is almost always the same. And it's like, I haven't even started to work hard yet. And it's really hard because, like, we're butting heads, and it's not a problem, but, like, I can tell she wants to, like, let's go do something. We haven't made memories as a family in a long time. Ever since I became a photographer, it's like, I'm kind of the same way as my dad. You know, I love what I do. And then I was a podcaster, like, I love it even more. So it's like, yeah. I love our house. Like, I love my job. Like, I don't feel like I'm the Monday through Friday just working to get to Saturday, Sunday so I can escape my life. I love my life. And so it's really hard for me to break away from this to go on vacation. But you, as somebody who's always working really, really hard, you have found time to kind of take your family different places. So being frugal, I'm definitely frugal. And Seema definitely knows this about me. What's that like? You know, how do you kind of determine whether or not, I don't want to say you deserve a vacation, but that's kind of how I feel. I feel like maybe I don't even deserve one quite yet. So how does that work out with you guys?
Well, you have kids, man. You're going to look at those pictures from wherever you're at. And, you know, your job's different. All I need is a laptop and a phone, and I can do everything. You know, you have to be there. So I understand that. But, you know, you're going to look back, and you're going to realize that, or you might go on vacation and be like, I could have taken 3 days off.
Right.
You know, 3 days, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go on a 2-week cruise to the Bahamas. I'm saying, you know what? You're in a beautiful area. There's a lot of local places. Gatlinburg for us is a 3-hour drive. That's why we go there. We ain't got time for more than that. Mm. We go up there. We take 3-4 days. I'm able to work, get everything done. You know, we're good. So you need to, in my opinion, if that's how you feel, take a local vacation. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of beautiful areas up here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, plenty of beautiful areas. I see where you're posting all the time. Like, mm-hmm. You go to these beautiful local areas. Like, in Tennessee, I could go to 8 million. I could go 20 minutes up the road to Nashville. I'm on Broadway. You know? So, I mean, you need to, in my opinion, and again, just my opinion, because I was you, mm-hmm. You know, don't. Just take 3 days. Like, 3-4 days a year. You could do that.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Like, absolutely.
The world won't stop.
Yeah. So you, Mark, and then another dad that I, you know, look up to, Jesse Burdick, he kind of said the same thing too. He was just like, it's not even really about you anymore, man. He's like, you got to make memories for your kids. And he said something similar, how, you know, you're going to look back at the pictures of where you guys were. He's like, they're going to remember that. Yeah. They're not going to remember the, you know, whatever, 4 months straight that you didn't take a day off or whatever, you know, they're not going to, or maybe they will. Unfortunately, they'll remember when you couldn't hang out. That's what I definitely don't want. But I keep saying, I'm like, oh, he's only 1 year old. he's not going to remember this part or whatever, but it's like, well, shit, I already have a 13-year-old and she's definitely going to remember all of it.
Oh, yeah. So 13's like, a cool age, too.
Yeah, yeah, like, she's awesome, too.
A lot of people say, like, when girls hit 13, they stop liking their dad. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's, we got really close because I started coaching her more. Nice. Maybe dads just keep trying to do little girl shit. And like, they're like, dude, dad, stop. I'm fucking 17, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Being weird. Absolutely. No, 100%.
You know, at 13 years old, it's such a weird age for boys and girls, right? Like the hormonal changes, girls notice boys or whatever they want to notice. I don't know. What do I even say now? I don't want to get canceled.
Be careful.
Yeah. Look, I mean, find what they like doing. Like, don't try to force something. If they hate something, don't do it. But you really can't go wrong with an amusement park. You really can't go wrong with, honestly, just take the time because you're going to look back. And as a parent, you know, I'm like, even when I was on vacation, I wasn't on vacation. Like I was on this or I was locked up in this. And a lot of times for me, training would hinder a vacation. I'm like, well, I go to the gym beforehand. So I go to the gym at like 4 a.m. and then like 4 p.m. hits and I'm falling asleep. Like, so take time off of training. I mean, that's what I tell people all the time. These guys get so caught up. It's like, dude, I'm a pro bodybuilder and I will never make a dollar as a pro bodybuilder. If I win the Chicago Pro 212, I think the payout's like $700.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't even pay for my flight.
Wait, seriously?
So
my
training partner, Courtney, won a pro show in physique.
Okay.
He had a $500 check. You're not doing it for the money. Like, Brandon, he wins the Arnold. He gets like $400K.
Yeah.
He's the best in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not. Okay. Maybe third, but not the best. No, I mean, he's the best. Like, everybody's like, well, Brandon, Jay made money. I'm like, Jay was the greatest in the world for 4 years.
Yeah.
Most of these bodybuilders are broke as hell.
Yeah.
So take time off. Like, you know what? And if you're active, you don't have to worry, well, I'm going to get fat. Okay, don't eat as much.
Mm-hmm.
And be active. Go on an active vacation. Like, I don't know if your kids are into sports or being active or athletic. You know, I have some friends as coaches whose kids just, they like being in band and doing like nerd stuff. And that's cool. My kids, thankfully, like doing athletic stuff. Uh-huh. I'm good with nerd stuff. You know, if my kid was a nerd, I'd be
band
like.
Band and nerd stuff. That's so good.
Well, except for Ravenwood's band. We are not nerds. Every other band, our band is athletic. Our band is jacked and small.
There you go.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with some. I mean, I played instruments.
No, that's.
I'm just a bit of a nerd. Nerd stuff is cool.
I'm cracking up.
I wish I could play an instrument. I can't play anything.
You still can.
My daughter can play like 10 of them.
That's sick.
I can't do. My son can play the drums.
Yeah.
I'm sitting like a fart in my armpit.
I haven't done that in forever.
Wow. You got to shave your pits. It comes out better.
Can't do it right now. Yeah.
Well, sure.
You got to shave.
I got to shave.
Yeah. I shave everything.
Should we keep rolling, you think? Or should
I think so.
Yeah,
because it's been so good and we're already over an hour. But yeah, that.
Whoa. Power Project Family, how's it going? Now on this podcast, Mark, Andrew, and I, we talk about fasting a lot. We talk about the ketogenic diet and a lot of different types of diets. But Bubs Naturals has a product. They have the collagen protein, which is amazing. They have these apple cider vinegar gummies, which are like crack. But they have they have these MCT oil powder packets that I've never used to do this, but in the morning I'll wake up and I'll put it in coffee and the smoothness, number one, in terms of the mixing is amazing, but the consistency of my energy through the day because of the MCT oil powder is peak. Andrew. Mm. How's your experience with that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's like the best way to start the day. You're satiated, you're energized, and you're just ready to crush the day. So if you guys want to get in on this MCT oil powder, head over to bubsnaturals.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off your entire order. Again, Bubs Naturals, promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
I'll turn the shot clock on.
There you go. So now we can officially start.
Now he's going to hit the record button.
Yeah.
What about being canceled here and there? Like, I know that you sometimes end up in YouTube jail, Instagram jail, TikTok prison.
I'm in Instagram jail now. I can't do live videos. And they don't tell you how long. This has been temporarily suspended. And I didn't even do anything. This guy threatened to beat me up. And I simply said, my schedule's online. And I reported him. And Instagram blocks me. So I can't do, the only thing is I can't do live.
They probably looked at your account and they looked at his account and they're like, this guy's going to whoop this other dude's ass. We better ban the bigger guy.
What's really funny is I haven't been in a fight outside of a boxing ring since I was 16 years old. Like, why would I fight? Like, literally, if someone hit me in the face, I'd probably walk it off.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it. God forbid I land a punch, they hit the back of their head, they die. I lose all my money.
Yeah.
Like, I made a lot of money and I worked for every dollar. No one gave me a dollar. Like, I earned every dollar. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lose that because I get punched in the face. Like, seriously, if someone came up to me, okay, let's talk. You know, I'm not going to fight anybody. Yeah, but Instagram is weird because they don't tell you how long you're going to be in jail. Mm-hmm. Just give me a time frame. So every day I'm going, clicking live, I'm like, why won't it work? And then it gives you that message. Like, yeah. But the thing is, their terms are so weird that you don't even know what you can and can't do, can and can't say. And then they do something, they don't explain it. And you try to contact them and they don't, you can't. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird is that we're customers technically because they're selling ads and they're marketing to us.
Yeah.
Yet they don't care.
How do you think some of this should be handled? Because Instagram, Facebook, Facebook and Instagram, especially owned by Mark Zuckerberg, who, was like a college kid and he started up this thing and it ended up being huge. This is a business, right? And social media, I mean, you can kind of almost look at social media as if you're like, you're walking into like a room in some weird way. Like they used to call it a chat room, right?
Yeah.
So there's got to be, I guess, some rules to it. Like if I walked inside Tiger Fitness or if I'm training in your gym, there's certain rules. There's certain things that I probably can't do. I can probably do a lot of things, but there's probably things.
We would let you do anything you want, Mark.
There's probably certain things I can't do. So like, how do you think some of this should be like regulated or policed? I think to say that it shouldn't be regulated, policed, or censored at all might be
a
little overkill.
That would be the wild, wild west. You need you can't have people come out and just say racist or offensive. But the thing is, what's racist? What's free speech? Mm. You know, like, what is hate speech? Mm. What is hate speech?
Yeah.
Like, hate speech is free speech. Like,
here's something interesting.
I don't know.
Like, you know, you get banned on social media, and I know, like, it's a thing, it's a service that we use, and it's a way that we communicate.
Yeah.
But what I find interesting is, like, no one's saying that you can't say certain things. They're just saying that you can't say certain things on those platforms.
Yes.
You can still go out in the street and say whatever you'd like and share your opinion with whomever you'd like, just not in the space that you utilize to build a bigger voice. You know what I mean? So I find it all very interesting. I don't know which way it should be handled, but I just find it fascinating.
I think it needs to be set forth and even. I think what's happening is you have one side who can say what they want and another side who can't say what they want. But I do think there's more freedom on there than people let out to be. I do think there's government influence. You know, I do think they're big donors and they lean a certain way. Anybody can see this. Anybody saying there's no bias at all isn't looking objectively. Whether it's as dramatic as they say it is, I see people on the left getting banned for saying incendiary things, but I see more people on the right. I think they just don't know what they're doing. And I think we all have bias. Like some things might offend me that don't offend you. And you're like, that is definitely incendiary hate speech. Mm. Whereas another guy's like, no, it's not. You know, like we were talking about the Whoopi Goldberg thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't bother me, and I'm a Jew.
Yeah,
like I'm not like, oh my God, and she stole our name. I'm more mad at the Goldberg name. That's misappropriation of Jewish heritage name. And also, Bill Goldberg should be pissed. The greatest WWE superstar of all time. Do you agree with that, or are you anti-Semitic? If you don't believe Bill Goldberg's the greatest wrestler of all time, you hate Jews. You're an anti-Semitic, and you're a Nazi.
Wait, Goldberg was bald with, but isn't his first name Bill?
It's been Bill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Bill Goldberg.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, I think he's coming back doing something with WWE.
He's amazing.
He's still jacked. He's still in great shape.
Well, funny thing is, I actually have a Christmas tree ornament of Bill Goldberg in a Santa hat. I have no idea how that happened. I'm not even joking. But, you know, I think that at the end of the day, there's no perfect way to do it. People complain about Twitter, they complain about Instagram, they complain about YouTube all the time. At the end of the day, we're playing on their playground. However, they are protected by the whatever it is that where it has to, it's basically a platform or whatever. It's a neutral platform, or I forgot how it's pronounced. So as long as there's that federal protection, that indemnity, they probably should be more of a free speech beacon. But what is, like, where do we draw the line? Like, what is free speech? Like, and also you got to look at, but I think we already have that outlined in the First Amendment. You can't incite. So I can't say the building's on fire, right?
Yeah, no.
So that's incitement. So do we just go by the First Amendment, whereas all speech is okay?
Well, in some cases of some folks, they have like a large following, and then you might be able to ensue violence or something of that nature, right?
Oh, absolutely. Incitement is obviously where you draw the line. But I actually got warned on Instagram once because I have a sense of humor, right? Like, and like your brother, like Chris, like he was talking earlier about his sense of humor. He said something and it was obviously taken the wrong way. But, you know, the other, someone posted something and I said, yep, that's me, just a cracker ass cracker. And they took it down and gave me a warning.
But for calling yourself a cracker.
But that was a Chris Rock joke. Like, yeah, that's from the Bring the Pain. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't believe I just got blocked for being anti-white. But I'm glad they're cracking down on the word cracker.
It's not even. Like, honestly, if we're just talking about gravity of words.
No, cracker's not a bad word.
You're literally just a little saltine cracker. Like,
no, that's not where it comes from, though.
Oh, where does it actually come from?
Which is even more fucked up, but it's from the crack of the whip.
Yes.
So
that's where cracker comes from?
Yeah. So basic. Like,
are you sure?
Positive, yes. Which is fucked up because
it's really not good.
No, so now you just insulted everybody.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, again, one of those things where like people say incorrectly and they don't even know what the fuck they're talking about.
Wow.
It just kind of shows you that none of it should really bother any of us.
There you go.
That's true.
But we do need to be protected from each other to some degree.
But do you guys remember Def Comedy Jam?
Yes.
Like, that was so over the top. And I used to love that show. And we used to literally at recess in junior high just stand out and just diss each other and diss moms. And when I was a kid, and this, luckily they didn't have camera phones, because I told so many Yo Mama So Black jokes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were great. Like, Yo Mama's so fat, she wore a Malcolm X shirt and a helicopter tried to land on her. Like, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was a go-to for me. Yeah. Like,
wait, you told somebody Yo Mama's so fat jokes?
And Mama's so black, too.
Okay.
Yo Mama's so black jokes, because my friends were all black.
Okay, yes. Okay, yeah, that
makes
sense.
I wasn't saying it to a white kid. That would make no sense.
Yeah.
Like, a white kid with a black mom would be weird.
But like, you're trying to be offensive in those cases.
But this is the thing. It's like, people will choose to get offended at that. Mm-hmm. And like that, no, like, look, you're with other black people, you're saying this with them. It's not offensive. It's people are making jokes and people are just getting so riled up about jokes.
But there's certain things that I think that I think that we pick the wrong fights. Like, for example, like white people, when they're like, I don't know why we can't say the N word too. I'm like, why do you want to say that word?
Oh,
I don't want to say that word. I don't say that word. It's not something that I typically, now I will be honest. If DMX is playing in the car, the windows are up, I'm singing along, I'm saying it. I mean, can't help myself. It's such a good song.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. You should be careful. But I get what you're saying. It's hard. DMX goes hard, and it's like hard to hold yourself back. But like
DMX.
There are some people in the audience, because we talked about the Joe Rogan situation, right? And looking at the context of which he was saying that word, the man's not a racist.
No.
But also there are some white guys in this audience that were like, you know, if everyone can't say it, then no one can.
That's bullshit.
That's okay. Honestly, y'all got to understand, like, that word was rehashed and black people started using it to take it back.
Yep.
So you can't. Come on, just
don't use the word.
Just don't use the word.
Don't use the word.
Hard, you know?
And I'm not going to go ahead and sing along with DMX at a concert. I'm not. You got, before you sing DMX, you have to look around, read the room.
You do.
Am I alone? Like, I can't even have my dog in the room. I'm like, dude, this fucking dog's going to rat me out. I'm like, but you know, but I'll be real. Like, even though I'm actually kind of kidding. I don't even say it when I'm alone. And I'm not just trying to save my ass. It's just not what I say.
Yeah, we got you.
I was joking. For me, it's just something I never wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, but with free speech, there's no such thing as hate speech. If you're going real free speech.
Yeah.
However, you might get punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's incendiary. And I'm not going to be mad if someone punches someone in the face for saying it. when Joe Rogan was saying it, again, it was years ago. Like, the 90s were different.
Bruh. Even the, like, because I think some of those clips were like from 2008, 2009. I had a high school teacher, Mr. Korea, and in class.
His name was Korea?
Yeah, he was a white guy, Mr. Korea.
Whoa.
But in class, because I was having a conversation with some people about this, he was using, like, he said the N-word.
Whoa.
But he wasn't, it was within the context of history. He was saying people would say this, and he said the word. No one class batted an eye because we understood what he was saying. Mm-hmm. But people would hear that now and be like, that's racist. It's not.
It's actually in the book. I remember we read Of Mice and Men.
Mm-hmm.
And they use the N-word in Mice and Men. And I remember our teacher in high school would say just, well, the stable buck is an N. And she'd be like, the word's actually what it says in your book, but I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the right way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of talking about history, can we actually get rid of language? And I think there's different, also different contexts. Like the way Joe was saying it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, and at the end of the day, that video has been out for a long time, and they were just trying to dig up.
Mm-hmm. February.
Yeah, and he's, but Joe Rogan is a comedian.
Yes.
And when he started comedy was in the days of Chappelle and Rock, and that was how comedy was back then, where there were no boundaries.
Chappelle's show didn't age well. If you rewatch it, still funny to us,
it's
still
funny to me.
But for people like young guys, young people nowadays, it wouldn't be funny to them. It'd be too sensitive.
When they went back in time and they were the slaves.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Murphy.
Kunta Kinte.
That was the Haters Ball. That was the Haters Ball where they went back and they were slaves.
Charlie Murphy
just doing this the whole time. The race draft. Like, remember
the racial draft?
The racial draft was good.
And the Chinese people choose the Wu-Tang Clan. There is Konnichiwa bitches.
But everyone made fun of, like, and everyone knows it's not, like, no one's really making fun of that an individual. It's just like, we're cracking, you know, it's race jokes. It's like, but now. No,
I don't know. Where did we take it? Social media made everything just out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but it was the 90s were the greatest decade that I can imagine growing up in because it was fun.
It was fun.
It was a fun time. Like Def Con, like I can't imagine if y'all haven't seen, like, I don't know if it's on YouTube, but Def Comedy Jam was just another level. You had basically up and coming black comics and it was not censored.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the greatest show, greatest comedy skit ever. It was so good.
Yeah.
And you could not do that nowadays. And I think people are missing out on such awesome fun. Like, sometimes it's good to make fun of yourself. Like, I tell more Jewish jokes than anybody, you know? And it's because, you know what? Sometimes to deal with shit that happened, like, sometimes humor is the best remedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it is. Like, when I joke around about, you know, like my past or my family or whatever, you know, having troubles growing up. My brother and I joke about it because it helps us kind of deal with it. And I'm not saying that we should be insensitive, but there's a time and place.
Yeah.
And obviously it's different with someone, hate to use DMX, singing along with DMX than someone yelling a racial slur at somebody.
Yeah.
So I think it's context. I think we just say things and we take every word for what it is, but we don't look at the context of how it's said.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, I just don't see a reason for me to ever use that word. It's just not in my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I'm scared of every other black guy I hang out with. Like, can you imagine if I said that around Mike?
Mike? No. Chris?
I don't want any of those guys hitting me. Like, all my black friends are bigger than me.
Oh,
who do we
God.
Have on the show? Is that one YouTuber guy who, like, didn't mind. He, like, kind of fucked with everybody, and then he was like, except for Mike Rashid. He's like, when Mike Rashid came at me, I was like, I'm done fucking around. What was that guy? I forget.
It was Kenny KO.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It was Kenny.
Dude, Mike. So we were both, obviously he's a pro. We were getting ready for we were in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, hey bro, you want to spar? I'm like, no.
Immediately.
I saw him hit a heavy bag and the heavy bag cried. Like, I've never seen, like, his velocity of his, I mean, God.
He got into it with somebody too at one of the shows. Like,
Buendia. Where he said, he doesn't like me talking about this. I probably shouldn't, but here's what happened.
Let's go.
Like, he went up and they had beef. I'm not going to say why. And so Jeremy's guys get between him and he goes, I'll fuck everybody up.
I remember that.
And then he repeated it. I'll fuck everybody.
I could hear it in his voice too. Like, yeah, it's great.
But he wasn't joking. He would have messed everybody up. And
he wasn't even that, like, mad when he said it either. He was just, like, really clear and concise.
Matter of fact. No. Yeah, he was stating a fact. Like, I will fuck everybody up. And, you know, if you knew the reason why, like, Mike is a very noble, awesome guy.
Yeah.
One of the best people I've ever met in my life. Like, I would literally take a bullet for Mike any day of the week. Any day of the week. Wouldn't even question it. Mm-hmm. Be like, take me. I'm done. Mike's a great guy. But Mike was convicted in his thought, and he went for what he thought was the right move.
Mm-hmm.
And but he meant it. He would have definitely fucked everybody up. But no, I mean, you look at, like, when you surround, like, for me, it's funny because I don't, like, I don't notice people for what they are. Like, I don't like, oh, wow, that's a black guy, or that's a, I'm like, no, it's like, who is that person? Like, I never once was like, I never once had a preconceived notion, but I grew up again, like south of here in a very diverse community. So there's a difference. Now, if you grow up in, let's say, a non-diverse community and you're in an area, you're just, you're like, whoa, what do I do here? Like, everybody's different.
Yeah.
So I can imagine it being, and that's why I like where I live. It's very diverse, very diverse. Even though it's a very affluent community, it's very diverse. So my kids get to play ball and do everything with many cultures.
Yeah.
From East Asians to Africans to whatever it is. I mean, so that's what's great. And that's why I love, you know, when you look at a community to grow up in, a lot of people, I look at, like, I go to the community, I see who's around me. Like, I want good people. That's all I care about. So I think a lot of people get caught up in what people are, but not what people truly are. Good people. There's good people, such good people. And all skin color is melanin. It's just because Europeans, it's really cloudy. So we don't need, we didn't need to develop much melanin.
Yeah.
Whereas Africa, it's hot as fuck. So you develop that melanin. It's just evolution.
Yeah.
Even if you look at the Jews, you have Sephardic Jews. They're dark. Sephardic Jews are your skin color.
Pull this up, Andrew.
Sephardic Jews. They're Middle Eastern.
I just don't know the difference.
Ethiopian Jews.
Oh, yeah.
They're dark as hell. Then you got Ashkenazi Jews, which I am. We're pasty.
Yeah.
Because Europe sucks. It's cloudy all the fucking time. It does.
Yeah.
And we get sunburned. Like, being white
sounds,
sucks.
It sounds so ridiculous when you put it in those terms. Like, we're arguing about the clouds.
It's stupid.
how the clouds are positioned, blocking the sun or not blocking the sun.
Yeah. Racism.
That's what the argument is.
I have tried my whole life to figure out racism. I really have. I've tried my entire life because I want to be able to explain it. And I can't, because it doesn't make sense. Because you can have someone who's the same lineage as me, other than being Sephardic versus Ashkenazi, being literally black. What's the difference? My cousins, for example, live right up in Long Beach. They're half Polish, half black. All of them, if you look up lowbliners, like on Facebook, most of us are black. Because, again, it's America. Like, people marry people of different colors.
Yeah.
So how is my cousin different than me? We have the same genetics, basically. 50% of us are shared. So why would he be different? How stupid is that?
Yeah.
Like, how stupid is that? Like, I literally, most of my family is black. So how am I going to say that I'm different or better or worse than this guy? When we literally share most of the same genetics. It's ridiculous. I can imagine if there was straight, like, you know, like back in the day when it was more homogenous.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're not homogenous.
But that's a great thing that we can see. Like, I've heard of, like, what Mark's mentioned about, like, his kids and how they see the world. And I'm assuming it's the same with you. And, like, when I see how younger individuals see things, they, like, it's funny when some people are like, I don't see color. Younger kids are really coming up and they're, you know, they're very conscious of what's around them, but they don't, like, they don't see a difference between them and other individuals because of how things are now. Things are much more mixed and it's much better.
You know, what was really cool is in North Carolina, we lived there for 6 years.
Yeah.
And our neighbors were, we were trick-or-treating with our neighbors who were black. And my daughter was like, these kids, the beautiful thing about kids, doesn't matter what color they are. If there's a playground, they're going to play. These kids are best friend. My daughter's running along. And the mom said, this is so great to see. And I'm like, well, why? She's like, well, I mean, just look at it. Everybody's like united. I'm like, I didn't quite get it. I'm like, their kid's playing. And I'm like, well, my daughter hasn't noticed. Like, she doesn't know. She's never been like, that kid looks different than me or that. And she's like, for the first time, her son was like, well, she has a lighter face than me. So that shows you that people aren't born ignorant and stupid and racist. Yeah. It's bred into them. You know, kids, if you haven't been indoctrinated in some weird culture of racism and hate, you put kids in a playground and they're going to play.
Yeah.
You put kids, even if you put kids who are raised racist, put them on the same sports team.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that goes away because they're trying to win. I've always said sports are the cure for racism. They just are.
Yeah.
They just are. Like, you see you see wonderful things. And gyms, have you ever witnessed racism in a gym?
I mean, yeah, kind of, but like not, it's not a common theme.
Yeah.
It's not a common theme.
Where'd you notice racism in a gym?
I'm not even going to talk.
Oh, is that bad?
Yeah. I'm not even going to talk about it.
Oh my God.
But it's not a common theme. What you're saying is correct. That's not something that it's like that common.
Yes.
It's very uncommon. So I agree with you.
Yeah. Sports are the great equalizer.
Yes.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them because you're playing for the same team.
Uh-huh.
And we all should be playing for the same team. Team human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a great place to be. It's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
And that's how we want to raise our kids. Mm. So, I mean, there are going to be stupid people, but I think for the most part, people are good.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, people are a large majority, 90 plus or more percent.
I agree.
Are good people who just want to raise good kids to do good things and be good to society.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, all we see is the 10% that suck.
What are your thoughts on like censoring yourself since you own so many of these businesses and you own, you have business partners? Yeah. Do you feel like you have to, or there's certain times you have to maybe be cautious because you got to think about some of the other people that are in your life that you're in business with?
Absolutely. I censor myself all the time, believe it or not. But I don't really, my opinions are, in my opinion, pretty milquetoast. They're not crazy. Like, I'm not saying the earth is flat. I'm not saying that we need to do anything violent. I'm basically like, I like freedom, you know, and I have evolved over time. Like, there's a bit more, you know, like on Instagram, I will never say anything political. I don't. It's just not Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Instagram, I just want pictures and fitness, and it's a happy place. Mm-hmm. You know, Twitter's a friggin' war zone.
It's a cesspool.
Yeah, it's such a mess. So there it's like you say things, you get out there, and it's kind of like tongue-in-cheek. Some of it's trolling, some of it's whatever. And I don't even deal with Facebook anymore. And my YouTube channels, I mean, my thing is like I started Lowblinder Lowdown, which is going to be more of a podcast before bodybuilding.
Cool.
Yeah, it's youtube.com/Lowblinder. But it's basically my first, I interviewed Phil Heath last week, but it's talking about good stuff. It's not like, if you notice bodybuilding media, and this isn't a bodybuilding show, it's going to be more bodybuilding based. It's all friggin' like TMZ type trash.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
And, but bodybuilding can do so much good for the world. It's such a good vehicle to promote health and fitness. Yeah, bodybuilders aren't the healthiest people, but there's a lot of things we do that can help people. And the stories of like Phil Heath and Brandon and Jay, those are things that can inspire people to do great things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, you know, it's just, we need to look at the good part of things. I don't even touch Facebook anymore. Facebook is just people still arguing about Trump versus Hillary. I can't do Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go, I have basically Facebook for me is cross posts from Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't mess with Facebook. I mean, do you censor yourself at all? I mean, I noticed like during the election, like you were pretty open with your thoughts. Like, did you find, and obviously you had some backlash. Yeah, I didn't even touch that, by the way. I didn't touch the Trump thing.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I mean, social media represents like such a small part of my life. You know, I don't post much with my kids and I don't post too much family stuff. And there's just a lot of, there's just like a lot of things that I think are more fun for me to keep private, you know, and then my view and points on stuff. You know, sometimes you do want to bring up a point because you kind of do think that you have something valid to say and you feel that you're right or you want to be right or you want to be, you want people to agree with something that you're saying. I mean, when the pandemic, when the whole thing kind of started, we had multiple guests on the show speaking from a different side, a different perspective than what was out there at the moment. And then I just backed way off of it because I'm like, you know what? People just, they hate this so much and they're getting so fired up about it. I was just trying to present some different views, different vantage points. So I think sometimes it's a good idea just to shut the fuck up. You know, people are going to, people are going to, you know, your Instagram or some of your media for like a specific reason, you know, and then I just try to, all right, you know, I don't want to only post stuff that's only for the fans because I don't want to be trapped into that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, my main thing is I'm a very happy person. I'm just trying to be helpful. I figured, I feel that for myself, I figured out good ways to be happy and maybe I can share those with other people.
Yeah.
And then maybe they can find some happiness in their life too.
I have found that that's where you've gone with it. And I've, everything, like people think I'm angry And I'm actually, have you ever seen me angry? Like, I'm the happiest guy there is. So a lot of it, like, Twitter's trolling for me. I care less if that got shut down tomorrow.
I love that on Twitter, you made a post one time and you're like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then like a week later, you're like, just kidding.
Yeah, Twitter, the thing is like, it's kind of weird where I do think that I'm within like probably a week of just being like, fuck it, here's fitness. I'm just tired of it. You know, when the Kroger thing brought me back in. And it's like,
because
I literally went for like the entire month of December with just like fitness stuff. You could look at, I mean, it was just all fitness and I was really happy. And the thing is all this stuff going on in the world, like we live in America and it's federalist, right? I live in Tennessee. Tennessee's fine. Like we're good. Like it fits my ideals perfectly. Like, should I chime in on what I feel about the convoy in Canada? I'm not there. Like, what the hell does it matter? Like, I don't care about what's going on in Ukraine. I'm not there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an isolationist. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say America first because that'll get me banned and canceled. Mm-hmm. That's more of a Trump thing for you. But but I'm one of those like, dude, I just care about what's happening in my country.
Yeah.
And right now, I think our country's in the best spot it's ever been in history of our country. I think our country is awake. I think our country is, whether you're left or right, you believe in something and you want what's best for the country, whether that's communism or whatever it is. I think people are awake and they're looking and people are involved. I think we're going to have a great voter turnout in 2022. Wherever that goes, I don't know. But I'm in a state, and the thing about our country is it's so, it's set up for the fact that you could live somewhere that fits your ideals. I didn't like Illinois. So I lost money and I moved to Tennessee. My quality of life right now is, why do you think I'm so fucking happy? I live in a place where I have trees. I back to a forest. I have the greatest public schools in the frigging state right by me. My quality of life is there. If you live in America, you can move to a state that you believe in, whether it's Texas or Washington, where they're weird. You know, if you want to be in a conservative state, where you could carry a gun without even having a license, like I do, you can move there. If you want to live in a state where they have you wear masks to walk out of your house and do what you, if that's what you like, who am I to say? If you want to live in a state where they defund the police, by all means, have fun with that. If you want to live in a state where we love our cops, I'll tell you what, you can't, a Franklin Police Department, the best police department on earth, they can't walk into a gas station without someone buying them, a drink. Or something to eat. We love our cops.
So this is Tennessee.
This is, yeah, this is Franklin, Brentwood, Tennessee area, right outside of Nashville. Yeah. And I found my heaven. I found my heaven. And there's a state and a city to fit everyone's needs. And you know what? Oh, it's going the wrong way. Run for school board. You know, I was going to run for state house. My wife was against it, but I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to go straight up and I wanted to be the voice. I wanted to vote for things and I didn't want to be sellout. A lot of these politicians, they get the special interest. They need all those donations. I'm like, I already have money. I'm good. Let me win this. And then I'm like, nah, I like the guy who's in there now. Mark Green. He's amazing. We have some other state guys who are great. Mark Green's actually the congressional. And, so I decided to coach. Do your part in your local community. Whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, there's something for you in this country. So that's why I'm like I literally, like this morning I woke up and I told you, like, I literally found religion in a day. I'm like, you know, I understand what's going on in Canada, but do I? Like, I didn't like when I'm in Tennessee and they're like, oh, they're doing the pandemic all wrong. I'm like, no, I think we're doing it just right. Do you live in Tennessee? Cool, don't come here. We don't want you here anyway. You know, so I'm like, I'm kind of in that situation where I'm like, it doesn't even matter what I have to say anymore. Am I making a difference? I don't think I am.
Yeah.
I think my difference is going to be made helping people get in shape, spreading the gospel of health and fitness. I said this in an interview after I got my pro card. I'm like, IFBB pro card, it's like putting a doctor in front of your name. It gives you credibility. Now, it didn't change who I was. Like, but what it did is now I can go out and promote health and fitness and I have an organization backing me. And I think that's what my focus is.
Yeah.
And you get caught up, like you're reading stuff and it makes you mad. Like, oh, how dare they do that? You watch these videos, which is one in a million interactions of some old lady getting run over by a horse.
Yeah.
Okay, it happened. But like, shit happens a lot. Every day. Like, did anybody here grow up in the hood?
Well, a little bit.
Okay. So where I grew up, I knew someone who got shot pretty much every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't covered by the news. They didn't show the dead body with a bullet with their brains blown out because it was a high caliber weapon.
Yeah.
It happens. Tragedies happen. But what we need to do is prevent those from happening in our own backyard. But we're so worried about this and that and the third. Like, but we're not going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, what is it doing?
No, what you said there is a really huge deal because everyone has their social media feeds.
Yes.
And depending on how they have things set up, you're taking in news that's things going on in Ukraine, things going on with the truckers, things going on in other countries, all this other stuff, just bad shit every single day.
Horrible.
And especially, you'll see this a lot with Gen Z. They think that the world is getting worse every year. They think everything's getting worse. When actually, statistically, for the world, this is the best we've ever been as far as poverty. There is less poverty than ever all across the world currently. And there's a book, Factfulness by Steven Pinker, and another book, I forgot the title, but it literally goes through all the statistics and why we are in the best place ever, right? But when you see all the bad shit happening, it's like, oh my God, all of this. You can't do shit about it. So you can't honestly allow yourself to worry about that.
It's brilliant. And here's the thing I tell people, like all the shit that's going on now, went on in the 90s and the 80s.
It all happened.
We just didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about what was going on in the Ukraine or in anywhere. All we knew is what CNN told us.
Yeah.
But now we have 800 million mini CNNs, and they're coming at you from the right and from the left. And I'm sitting here, and I notice I'm on the flight. I got the internet. I like to stream Pornhub sometimes when I'm flying.
Okay.
You get that good internet where it streams. And I'm on a plane, and I'm reading through my feed on Twitter, and I'm getting fucking angry, and I could feel my blood pressure getting, and I'm like, why am I angry? But it's stuff that will anger you.
Mm.
Nobody wants to see an old lady trampled by a horse. That'll make anybody mad.
Did that actually, when did that happen?
It actually happened. Yeah.
What?
It was like, so basically they have the convoy and they brought the Canadian Mounties. And they just, the horses started going, and an old lady in a walker got ran over. She didn't die.
Oh, good.
But the initial reports were, of course, she died because it was fake news. But the thing is, what is real anymore? Like now with deep fakes and all this stuff, like I don't even know what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that, look, if you watch the news about California, dude, like I thought I was coming into a war zone, bro. Like you're going to California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's homeless people on every corner. I haven't stepped over one homeless person. I walked into IHOP without a mask. I ate steak tips, which are fucking amazing, with eggs, and I have pancakes, and it's just like I'm in Tennessee. Like nothing's weird.
Yeah, well, I'm going everywhere maskless too. No one cares anymore.
The only place that's weird is the airport, but I think that's going to be gone soon. But like our biggest issue right now is I think once they get rid of the lockdowns, and I think no one's going to care about anything. I think that's what they're using to divide us. Whoever they are, that thing is like, well, they're trying to divide us. But cool, who's they? Well, it's the World Economic Forum. I'm like, really? You think, okay. So they want us to cover our faces. And Bill Gates, like, I don't know where he came from, but dude doesn't even have a college degree. And now he's like speaking on, it's like, if I say anything about health, if I say anything like, hey man, I think you should take vitamin D. Are you a doctor? Is Bill Gates a fucking doctor? Like, how does this guy get a pass? He's richer than me. I'm pretty fucking rich. I think I have enough money to have an opinion. It's like, why can't I have a fucking opinion?
It's all bro science.
Bro science was right the whole time, dude. The reason my YouTube channel, Tiger Fitness, is shadow banned is because a video I did on vitamin D in March of 2020. Yeah, but it wasn't even called the C word back then. It was called Corona. So I'm like, dude, I don't know anything about this Corona thing, but like there's good data for the flu and vitamin D. In some years, it actually outperformed the It outperformed the V.
Timestamp.
Beep. Yeah.
It outperformed it in it because on a bad year, the flu shot is 10%. Effectiveness. Vitamin D is always between like 10% and 20% effectiveness against viruses, according to the data. And so I'm like, dude, I don't know if it's going to work for this, but hey, vitamin D is cheap. Take it.
Yeah.
And I said, you don't even have to take my brand. Just go to Target or Walmart or Vitamin Shop. Buy the budget brand. Just get vitamin D. Just take it. 5,000 IUs a day.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, my videos went from like 20,000 to like 100. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
misinformation.
But they didn't even like warn me. It just, they didn't even, the video, because I said nothing wrong. But they're like, we got to shut this guy up now.
That happened to us too.
Happened to us twice.
He's obviously a white supremacist.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to be a doctor to be able to see that over a period of time that a lot of the actions that were taken because of the virus were going to be detrimental. Like that's not a doctor requirement.
You mean
like
closing gyms?
Yeah. And just like the mental health. I mean, it's just some general common sense. Like if we shut a lot of things down, if people can't get out of their houses, they're going to eat a bunch of junk and they're going to have DoorDash.
They're delivering
and
they're alcohol. They're delivering alcohol. Does anybody see how crazy this is?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm messing up your mic here.
No,
I'm
go for excited. It.
I have a boner.
Sick.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I just did that for the sound clip. Like, open every video. I have a boner.
I mean, do we need?
You're welcome.
Do we need an epidemiologist to verify that there's going to be some mental health issues from, you know, the various mandates and things that we've done? Like,
we're covering faces. Like, right. Everybody's like, "Well, you, Bill Gates." God, I want to fight that guy so bad. This guy goes up and is like, well,
dude,
you
what if
pants.
He? What if he fucked you up?
Dude, I bet
what
you
if
that
knows jiu-jitsu.
What if yeah. he's Krav Maga?
Ooh, or Krav Maga.
Krav Maga will kill you.
Yeah.
Dude, you go to throw a punch and he fucking throws you?
What if his glasses are like some secret fucking weapon? He takes them off.
It probably are.
Headbutts you and shit. God damn.
Is anybody else imaging this in their head?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
I'm picturing myself getting my ass kicked by Bill Gates.
By the way, have you guys seen how like jacked Jeff Bezos is?
Dude, yeah, he's getting in shape.
He got on the steroids, man.
I can assume. Like,
yeah, I love steroids. Steroids are so awesome. Like, we should all take more. Why are you natty? You got to stop that.
Isn't CJ natty too?
Yeah, but you're all fake.
Oh, fake natty. How is it? How are we fake?
Because you look too good to be natural. I had to take a lot of drugs to look like this, and I still don't look as good as you.
Oh, well, actually, you are much larger than I am. So.
Yeah, I mean, well, but I'm ugly. but I'd give anything for height, you know? Like, I can't reach shit. My wife's like, you get the fucking coffee. I'm like, we have the skinny syrups, and they're on the top shelf. I have to go grab a fucking stool.
You know, there's apparently a bone surgery that people do. It costs a little bit of money, but you can expand the bones.
That sounds painful.
It's a bit painful, and you have some long recovery time, but you can get inches.
I've gone for 41 years looking like this, and I'm good. I've established I'm a manlet.
I've heard that in years.
I'm good with it, man. Dude, I'm... But what the hell are we talking about? Something about...
You're talking about...
Bill Gates fucking me up.
There you go, yeah.
So Bill Gates is like, well, if you could wear pants, you could wear a mask. I'm like, I don't breathe out of my penis. Like, it's just... But look at kids, like...
Do you know that for a fact? Are you a doctor?
But here's the thing, like, imagine if we were doing this podcast with masks on. We can't see smiles.
Yeah, fuck
we can't
that.
See expressions.
Right. Just eyes.
Imagine kids developing. Imagine kids who have stuttering problems or speech impediments. Like, I got a medical exemption for my kids at the beginning, so we never wore masks. We wore them for like a couple weeks. My kids never dealt with it, but you still see kids who are afraid to take their mask off because they feel uncomfortable without it. It's like you and I walk around, well, I'm fine without pants. I'm a bodybuilder, right? Like, but like, imagine a normal person who's not weird.
Yeah.
Like without pants, they'd feel weird. Like these kids, it's become ingrained. Imagine the kids who are in that developing stage where they're trying to form their thoughts and their patterns and their speech and they're covering their mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not good. Mm-hmm. So I think, and also the fact that kids just didn't get it, but those are things I called from the beginning. I'm like, guys, even if this works, like, have we looked at the side effects of this? Mm-hmm. Are we doing calf raises? Cause I really need, I got this. My calves suck, dude. It's the one thing God gave me that's black man's.
That was a good joke. For anyone who didn't get it, high calf insertions, you see that amongst a lot of black athletes and black people. So I just need to explain so people don't.
So we don't get in trouble.
No, but I used to tell the joke like, I'm half black, the bottom half. My calves.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You know what? Good news is Dexter Jackson made it where anybody Quinn bodybuilding shows with smaller calves.
Mm. His calves were, they're really small.
But I mean, but are they? I mean, they're not that bad, but the fact that his quads are like this, it's relative. Like, I always tell my wife my penis looks small because my quads are big.
That's a fact.
It's because of quad sweep.
And I have a small penis, but it just doesn't work.
Andrew, how can people get the penis pump so that they don't have to deal with the small penises that Mark has?
You guys at least have an affiliate code on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I might get in on this penis thing.
Yeah. We'll get one out. Set your way. Just give us your address.
Wait till you see the before and after.
Hey, cannot wait.
Yeah. That after picture looks doctored to me.
The reason my wife likes me having a small penis is there's no pain the day after. Mm-hmm. She's good. She walks fine. I've seen her deliver an 8-plus pound baby through that thing. Mm. One time my wife, after sex, during sex, she goes like, oh, you feel so big. I'm like, you lying bitch. I have seen what that thing can do. What I don't understand is how they just bounce back to normal size.
Yeah.
Like, that is impressive.
Because it's indestructible.
Super.
The vagina is amazing. Yeah. God, I love vaginas.
Like, in all the rap songs, they always say that they killed that pussy or murdered that
you
pussy.
You didn't do anything.
It's like, nah,
that pussy is immortal.
It's coming right back.
Yeah. Coming right back.
So when you do get the penis pump, though, which links are going to be down in the description as well as the podcast show notes, but what you'll see is when you're actually, like, vacuuming all the air out, how big your shit grows, and you're just like, hey.
Oh, you'd be impressed with yourself.
Just please read the directions because
there's a whole workout program for it.
It's programmed, but the thing is you don't just pump, because you pump blood in there, and some people are stupid. They don't read the directions. Just they keep just pumping, and it gets, you could damage your dick if you pump.
Oh, no, too. I don't want to damage it.
No, you just read the directions. You'll be okay.
We'll make sure.
At least it works. It might not work well, but it works.
Just FaceTime me as you do it, and I'll walk you through.
We should just do Instagram live when I get it back.
When you get it back, yeah.
And then I'll get it taken away right away.
Worth it.
Totes worth it, bro. Yeah. We can do YouTube live. I can still do that.
On your channel.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never used a penis pump, but I guess I'm missing out.
Hey, man. We got you.
Yeah. Back to the mask thing, though. But yeah, what you're saying is absolutely right. So my daughter, she's 13. I have to do my best to comfort her and let her know we don't have to wear masks when we go into certain areas. Mm-hmm. You just don't even bring it or whatever. And the thing that pushed me over the edge was my son. I would go to let's say Costco. They always check you at the front door. That's the only place.
They still do that here?
That's the only place I go to where they will actually stop you at the door. So we'd go there and he'd rip it off me. So after that I said, fuck it. I'm not going anywhere that
they
forces
me. Don't do that
anymore,
by the way.
So even still, I went last week and they still checked me, but they gave me a mask. I'm like, cool, thanks. And I put it in my pocket and I just kept going. Yeah. After that, it was no big deal. So I was like, that's the last place that I've gone to that will still check me. Mm. Everywhere else, I went to my daughter's dentist and they're like, sir, can you wear a mask? And I'm like, no, I can't. And we can't be here. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll be outside. But it was so dumb because they made my daughter wear a mask, but then she fucking sits down and then she takes her mask off.
Yeah, our dentist doesn't do that in
Tennessee. You live in a really cool state, dude.
Well, I mean, my dentist is also based. They're like us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, it's the damn Illuminati again, you know? I'm like, I want him working on my teeth. Yeah, but I think that if you go to a doctor and they don't have to and they tell you to put a mask on, I got a question. If that doctor reads anything, because it's like, look, if they worked, mm-hmm. if the studies didn't all show that they, in my interpretation of the studies, that they don't do enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say they don't work. They don't do enough. I'd be like, let's talk. We got this. Mm-hmm. But the fact that all the data shows that there's no difference between school A and school B, I'm like, why are we arguing about this? And also if they work, cool, wear it. Do it. We have a rule in my house. I know I might get in trouble for this, but we don't if somebody comes fix something in our house, it's a newer house, mm-hmm. I don't want them wearing masks. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, where I'm from, if you're wearing a mask, you're coming to my house, I'm about to get robbed.
Yep.
I want to see your face so I can identify you if you steal some shit. Mm-hmm. All right, take the mask off. And we've had situations where cool, send somebody else. I'm sorry, dude, it's my house. Everybody's like, we had that discussion before, it's your business. Well, mm-hmm. it's my house.
Yeah.
I'm paying you to do a service. So if you feel that we're dirty, our house is really clean too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a cleaning service and shit.
There you go.
That's what happens when you make it.
Have you seen some of the, I believe it was in Reno, Nevada, somewhere close by, but they're protesting because they want the mandate to come back.
I saw that. University of Reno.
There it is, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Just wear your mask. Just wear it. We're not mad. Just not in my house, you know, but we had an event at our gym on Saturday, and it was pretty cool. We had a ton of NPC seminar, ton of people, mm-hmm. and this one guy walked in. You could tell he was from out of state, and he walked in with his mask. He looked around. He's like, oh, shit. He's like, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
You'll have that occasionally, and I'm good with it. Look, dude, if you want to wear one, go ahead. I'm a very libertarian-minded person. Just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Just let my kids go do their thing. And look, dude, if you're really scared about what's going on, just why don't you stay home? because you're in the minority. Like the rest of us will go on and keep doing epic shit. What I feel bad for is y'all in California. Like while you guys were shut down, my daughter won a state championship in soccer. Mm. Your kids missed out on that opportunity. My daughter will always have a ring. And there's a bunch of kids out here who will never have that experience. They took a year away from them for something that didn't even affect them. That is criminal. People need to be on Nuremberg type shit trials for what they did to kids. And that's for real. Like it was overreaction, but they knew they were overreacting. Mm-hmm. They knew it. I don't know what the reason they did it for is, but looking back, I'm like, dude, how did nobody like in your circle be like, guys, we're ruining a year of these kids' life. Like they're going to look back and they have school pictures where they can't even see their face.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah. We never did that. Mm-hmm. Like we just didn't. And that's why I'm so glad we accidentally moved to Tennessee a year before this happened.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's great.
And then earlier you said, you know, you're just like somebody like griffing on Twitter or like social media and like you feel like I'm not doing anything important or whatever, not making a big impact. But I have to say, like my entire family, they've all, they got the shot, you know, and they were looking at me like as an outsider. And everyone in my circle, I was the only one that didn't. And I was just like, fuck, like, should I just do this? Seeing like, I know you're joking a lot on Twitter and you are kind of like trolling people.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
But just seeing you and then like the people that follow you also like being on the same page, like I'm not alone. Like there are other people that aren't, you know, following suit, I guess I'll say.
Yeah.
So I know you're saying that you're not making a big impact, but it made a big impact for me. So thank you for being there and like voicing your opinion and just being real.
Well, I appreciate that. But just on that note, I would like to expand on that. Whereas my doctor actually told me not to get it based on my medical history.
Okay. What about, what was?
Well, I mean, dude, I have an enlarged heart. I'm an athlete, bodybuilder.
That's right.
Okay. And also bodybuilders have thicker blood.
Mm-hmm.
Do the math. It's okay. Not. And that's also some not common, but some potential side effects.
Mm-hmm.
As bodybuilders, we need to talk to our doctors. That's what Tim Pool says. And I agree with him. Talk to your doctor or talk to somebody who knows what they're doing more than you do.
Yeah.
I literally asked my doctor, I'm like, well, he said, don't, no matter what, don't take it based on you. Now I have great hematocrit levels. My heart, it's not like he's like, dude, your heart, like you've trained your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You've done anabolic steroids. It's going to be bigger.
Yeah.
And I don't want to die because I've already had the C word. And it didn't affect me. I literally was asymptomatic. I knew I had it from an antibody test. So it's like, all right, there's no reason for me other than to go places I don't need to go.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to go on a cruise. I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go out of the country. I'm good with that. And, and if there's a place that requires it, I just won't go. Like I live in Tennessee. They can't do it. It's literally illegal. Mm-hmm. They can't do it. So I also know people who have MS and other diseases and are immunocompromised. I know someone with Lyme disease and his doctor told him he lives in New York. If he takes it, he has a very good chance of being really, really, really sick and potentially dying. So should we, you know, basically deny services to people who can't medically get this. Mm. So they're taking away medical and religious exemption. What about people who just have a religion that say you shouldn't take that? That's the problem. So I'm not by any means saying that it's not, look, man, I'm not Bill Gates. I'm not a scientist. All right. But for me, I think we should all have that decision we make with our doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just come off and say, oh no, it's going to do this crazy thing. I'm not making it. There's a lot of reports that kind of scare me, but there's reports on drinking too much water. Drink too much water kills you.
Caffeine.
Different people react differently to things. Have you ever seen someone who doesn't react well to Yohimbine? My wife took Yohimbine once.
Me.
Her face went fucking numb. It was the funniest thing. It was actually.
It really went
scary.
Numb.
Her face, you know, she had Bell's palsy, kind of like.
Oh, fuck.
When she got tingly. I'm like, you might be dying.
Whew.
But this is hilarious. Nonetheless, we can't give her Yohimbine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We go straight with clenbuterol.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I'm making myself laugh. So it's based on the individual. So when you start blanketing medical things and not giving exemptions,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And then the exemptions are even a problem because there's something called HIPAA. Like, it's none of your business what my medical history is. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of reasons why I'm like, hey, you know, I need to kind of speak out against this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying any of the reports, like, dude, there's going to be side effects. Mm-hmm. There's going to be, for anything, there's side effects.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
So again, we need to be aware of them. And that's the informed consent that we're kind of not doing. We don't know what's in this thing. Mm-hmm. They won't tell us what's in it. And then they want to deny the reporting of it for 75 years. Why? They should have real-time reporting. Like, hey, here's the data we have. Boom, here it is. Like, we live in a situation where I can literally, this is live. Like, we can stream. Why don't we have streaming data of this really important? Now, I am quite impressed that we got this thing done in like 9 months. That is a marvel of science. Mm-hmm. But then you got to question why they're pushing it so hard. And that's another thing. Like, if they didn't push it so hard, I'd be like, dude, I remember my wife was pregnant. I had the DTaP. It's a tetanus, diphtheria, and okay. flu shot. Mm-hmm. And they just give it to you. I got deathly ill from it. But I was like, cool. I didn't question it at all. My kids, all their inoculations, did not question it. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've ever questioned anything. If this happened in 2018, I would have been the first one. Like, let's go. But now I'm like, dude, why are you pushing this so hard? Like, why? And that's something we all have to ask.
Well, I mean, if we're asking why they're pushing it so hard, it's a new disease that's spread really quickly. Like,
yeah.
I don't think we've had something like this for a while. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things we have vaccines for, but
oh yeah,
something like this, if the message is like they're trying to stop the spread and whatever, you can understand why they're pushing it. Although you may not, I don't agree with how hard they're pushing
yeah.
it. I can understand it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Pushing it and mandating it are two different
mandate,
things.
Mandate, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mandating is
so
a very
I'm all for
thing.
Pushing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get mad like people like you believe they're putting those. I'm like, dude, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let people learn about it
yeah.
and make an informed decision with their doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm not adverse to it. It's funny how you're labeled anti-vax just for saying we should read.
Yeah.
or like make a decision. And the fact that it might So, okay, let's say it decreases symptoms and people are dying. I get it. Mm-hmm. But CDC's already come out and said it doesn't prevent transmission. And then Fauci himself said everybody's going to get it.
Yeah, I still got it after getting the vaccine.
So everybody's going to get it. So I already had it. And yeah. I'm just like, we're all going to get it. And I'm not one of those crazy guys. Look, I know so many people. Well, I have someone whose heart exploded after taking it. Well, cool. I know hundreds of people who've taken it and they're not dead. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fine. They're actually thriving. So I'm not saying it's going to do anything terrible to you, but we need to look at it might do something terrible to 1% of the population or 0.5%. That's why it's up to you and your doctor.
Yeah.
That's my only thing.
Absolutely.
I'm not anti anything, mm-hmm. but if you want to be late, if that's new label for someone who thinks things
that's the sad thing, like, cause it's like people are labeling individuals who are just thinking critically about yeah. this as anti-vaxxers. Yeah. Like, no, they're not anti-vaxxers. No. That's not the case.
But on Twitter, I can't understand why people think I am because my humor is bad. Like, so if it's not in context where I can clarify it right away and I don't want to do a subtweet saying like, ha, playing, you know, so it's like,
just go do one comedy set. So at this point, you can label yourself as a comedian. So anything you say or do from that point on, it's comedy.
I think everything I've done is pretty much comedy in a way. I don't think anybody can take me seriously. But no, I mean, and that's why I'm like, even after what he said, I'm like, dude, I don't, it's almost like being involved in politics. Like, I'm a fitness guy. I coach kids. Like, the political stuff's been good to me, though. I mean, my Twitter's grown dramatically. Mm-hmm. Because I say things that people think, and even if I might not be 100% in belief of what I say, it's at least partially what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think people are like, finally, someone's saying this. And also I have a good grift. Like, I'm the only conservative bodybuilder on Twitter, like out there. Like,
where are the Hodge twins at?
But they're not bodybuilders anymore.
They're really not. Okay.
I got a pro card, bro.
That's true. That is true.
Well, actually, what's funny is a lot of bodybuilders are extremely conservative thinking mm-hmm. of all sides. It's a very conservative industry. You'd never guess.
Really?
Based on our demographics. Oh, yeah.
I never really paid that much attention to that.
Extremely, extremely conservative. Mm. And remember, it's an industry that's mostly not white. Fitness has a way of, it's a very independently thinking, like very personal responsibility based. So bodybuilding in general, if you look at bodybuilders go to a gym, it's generally going to be a more conservative base.
Interesting.
Okay. It is. It is. Not woke. And again, like,
that's true.
Bodybuilding, think about like football players. Mm-hmm. Did you play football?
I played soccer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, but football, locker rooms.
Locker rooms are locker rooms.
Like, so when Trump said grab by the pussy, I'm like, every locker room is way worse than that. So, you know, you have like, so like, anybody who plays sports, bodybuilding is like a sport. Like, you joke around and you're not going to be woke.
Yeah.
You're going to be more like open to things. Like, and dude, we used to teabag people in football locker rooms. Like, it is what it is.
Hey, man.
I still do that.
Thigh wars. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had some,
Thigh wars?
Thigh wars.
What is that?
You know what thigh wars is?
Do I have to look that up?
All right. So thigh wars is, well, you know, after, you know, you shower, you come into the locker room, just be chilling naked, right? Thigh wars is when you'd stand wide like this, okay? Right? Naked. Let's say that your thigh was on my thigh, right? Like this, right? We'll get them in front of the table and I'll show you.
Okay.
And we would like hit our leg against the other leg until somebody fell. So come here real quick, Mark.
So get right in the middle.
He thinks this is normal, by the way, Mark. So they're in front of the table. They're going thigh to thigh. And then they're trying to fight.
It's like he's gonna pop his hip out.
Whoever falls first loses.
Naked.
But you're naked.
Got to be naked.
Did you ever have the, like, your penises are really in close proximity to each other?
They're actually not. But you know, the funny thing is that was the first time I ever was like naked. That was the first time I was ever like I've never been in a locker room before that. Like, that was like, whoa, this is weird. But then you get used to nakedness real quick. And then you're playing thigh war. And then you got some guy on the other side of the locker room sticking pennies in his foreskin. You have another guy on the other side of the locker room just fucking beating his shit. It's just like, it's just normal.
So many germs.
Did you play soccer in West Hollywood? Like, so we used to, when I first started doing, you know who Mac Truck is? funny guy. So Mac, we first started doing collaborations together. He got a message from a guy who was a freshman when I was a senior.
Uh-huh.
And it was a DM. He sends me the DM, and the story was like how I used to come out of the shower and just walk up to the freshman, because we had the freshman cage, the JV, and then the varsity. I used to walk up. I was 285 pounds, buck ass naked, and walk up. And be like, hey, y'all gonna go shower? And Mac's like, please tell me you didn't do this. I'm like, I mean, I never did anything really weird. I was just that fat guy who didn't care about being naked.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, my body did not look like it looks now.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't a good sight. It was like, why is this fucking short fat man standing here naked with his button dick? You know, like, what the hell is this? But that was my thing. I used to just make freshmen awkward by being naked.
Yeah.
And luckily I was under 18, so I wasn't violating any laws. Yeah, but we did some really crazy shit. So I think bodybuilders in general, a lot of us played sports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're not going to get offended because we did some dirt in the locker room. And even now, like, I'm not going to name names, but when I walk by the football team, they say shit that we used to say, like, that's timeless. Mm-hmm. There is no wokeness in sports. Sports, all that racist, nasty shit we used to say, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It is still there.
But again, it wasn't racist. This is
it's jokes. Fun.
It's dudes.
It's dudes who walk around naked together. And then, but you have to have that level of comfort because you're literally dying. You're literally putting your body and your soul on the line for this teammate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't reach that level of comfort around them, you're not going to play well together.
Yeah.
And that's why sports bring people together.
Agreed.
Because you can celebrate your differences and joke around about it. And that's the beauty of it. That's why I love sport.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm so happy I came back to bodybuilding. Like, we have the greatest industry ever. We have the most supportive community, and the Mannions have done such a good job in bringing bodybuilding to a level of, not only that, the fairness. Everybody's complaining about judging. I think it's fair. I think we have the most fair, subjective sport there is.
Yeah. It's rough when it gets to like bikini and physique people because they all look the fucking same.
They look the same, yeah.
But I mean, I get what you're saying.
Bikini, it's like, who do I want to have sex with? No, I'm just kidding. Physique, I'm like, who do I want to have? Those dudes are hot.
It's supportive, but also pretty like divided and can get a little weird.
It's very weird.
I mean, most of the, like you were saying earlier, most of the YouTube stuff that's on bodybuilding especially the stuff that's the most popular, isn't necessarily how to get the best peak, how to pose the best, you know, how to prep for a contest. It's usually kind of more the inflammatory stuff.
Yeah, and that's why
now you're not.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to kind of transition into more like just positivity.
Yeah, I like that.
And bringing health and fitness. And I'm a positive guy. Social media brings out the worst in all of us, at least me. Not Instagram. I'm pretty proud of my Instagram. My Instagram's like bullshit family videos, which I love. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't show your family. For me, that's, I still treat my Instagram like it's literally just my family looking at it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, my daughter just had a great play. Nobody wants to see this. Fuck it.
Right.
It's going up. You know, but what's funny is that a lot of people will be like, I really like how you post that. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Because that's what I care about. Like, I'm not trying to like build my Instagram to build an empire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to promote cool shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, my son getting an epic pin in a wrestling match, that's cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to put on there. So I still treat my Instagram like it's a personal page.
Yeah.
And that's just what it's going to be.
Andrew, want to take us on out of here, buddy?
Sure thing. Thank you, everybody, for checking out today's episode. Please support this one because, you know, topic's got a little I'll just say sketchy there. Yeah, you're right on time. Yeah, so please support this video. Give it a like and drop us a comment down below and share it with somebody that needs to see it. And subscribe if you guys are not subscribed already, and turn on all those bell notifications. Please follow the podcast at Mark Bell's Power Project on Instagram, at MB Power Project on TikTok and Twitter. My Instagram and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where you at?
I implore you guys to go check out those fucking Outright bars because they taste really damn good.
Yeah.
If you're low carb, sorry, just give it a shot anyway.
Yeah.
At Nsima Indy on Instagram, YouTube, at Ntina Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter, Mark.
Okay, I'm at Mark Lobliner everywhere, MarkLobliner. YouTube is youtube.com/Lobliner. That's the Lobliner lowdown, and youtube.com/Tiger Fitness. But you type in Mark Lobliner, you'll find me. I appreciate everything, guys.
What's your favorite Outright bar?
I've been going back to the OG Cookies and Cream a lot.
Yep.
It just hits, that's, man. I mean,
it's a hard combination. Yeah. Cookies and cream and peanut butter. It's genius.
I think, yeah, I'll take like a week break, but then I'm like, dude, just send me a pallet of those. It's
definitely
good.
Yeah, that's my favorite for sure, too.
Awesome.
I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch y'all later.